The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by the Fleshlight. I gotta find a new way to say that, Brian. I can't keep saying it
say
that way.
Backwards.
The Fleshlight is our sponsor. Okay, this is the deal, folks. It's been very controversial, but they've been with us since the beginning, and we are anything if loyal, or loyal if anything, loyal if anything. We're loyal people. They've always been our sponsor, and even though it's a controversial subject, Brian and I both feel the controversy is very silly.
What's the controversy?
Controversy is being sponsored. That's Ari Shaffir, ladies and gentlemen, arthegreat.com. Is being sponsored by a sex toy, that it's stupid, it's ridiculous. But half the show is nonsense. This show, we're talking about sex toys. We're talking about nonsense. It's not like there's this noble content that's continuously being brought up on this show, and it doesn't deserve to be associated with something like a masturbation aid.
So, like, what do you mean? Everybody masturbates, but who fucking cares?
It's not. It's so silly. To me, I will never give it up. I won't give up the Fleshlight. Fuck you. You're ridiculous. They're paying us. They've always paid us. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. If you think there's something wrong with what they're doing, you're crazy. If you don't want to be associated with them, good. That means you're a silly person. You're a silly person. What do you care? It's nonsense.
People bring up arguments like that, I'm always like, oh, let's not even talk.
I think it's ridiculous. Are we really pretending that we don't masturbate? Really? Why would you not? You silly person.
Have you ever pretended to masturbate?
No. Have you?
Pretended?
Yeah, like not really masturbate. Yeah.
Who are you trying to fool?
Well, Brian, do you remember that time you were going to do that fucking movie and I talked you out of doing it, man?
What movie?
I was going to do a film where they tied him up in a trunk of a car with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, you don't want to have those videos out there, first of all, for people to get excited about.
Tied him up in the trunk of a car and then what?
It's a very specific type of porn. It's like they want to see people that are kidnapped, and they want to see people that are completely, they have fantasies of kidnapping people that they don't like, maybe.
Yeah.
And they don't really go through with it, but they want to, like, kidnap this guy his wife in front of him, you fucking piece of shit. But there's a lot of guys who feel like that. So
was it gonna be a fuck film with you?
Well, don't you think if that's true, Michael C. Hall is somewhere like shivering, crying, hiding, you know, like the guy that played Dexter or somebody like that, you know, all these people that are serial killers
have to think about that. That is a legit concern. I mean, look, I'm not in any form or any way trying to say that we should have any kind of censorship in this world. Right. But the reality is, there's people that watch a show like Dexter and say, I would like to do that too.
Who?
Have you seen my Twitter avatar?
A guy in Canada got arrested for doing the exact same thing.
It's a fucking Three's Company too, or whatever her name was.
Filming the people, and like, and they doing it completely Dexter style.
And they try to copy it.
Oh, he did do it. He did. He was inspired by Dexter, so he went out and killed a bunch of people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he tried to kill some bad people.
Have you seen my Twitter avatar?
No. What's your Twitter avatar?
You would probably get really mad at me if you saw my Twitter avatar.
Okay.
Brian, were they going to make you fuck in this thing?
What?
Were they going to make you fuck in this thing, or is it just a film?
No. They were just going to kidnap us and like tie us up and then like.
He was going to do it for money.
Yeah,
it's acting.
Yeah, it was acting.
I've seen that picture before.
Yeah, my heart's torn out, and that's like gory, you know, there's blood dripping on my face.
You don't think I've seen that? That's been your picture forever.
I know.
Yeah, it's gross. You should be careful with those things. Look, it is what it is. I mean, you're expressing yourself. If you feel the need to express yourself getting murdered, go ahead.
I
think there's a little something creepy about putting out videos of you getting tied up in your fucking trunk, because it might, 99.9% of the people, you're absolutely right. That's nothing. It's not going to trigger anything weird. But there's that 0.1% that just sees that and just thinks, I would like to fucking do that to him.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you talked me out of it so I could torture my Fleshlight.
There's also that guy that wanted to kill the president because of the taxi driver.
Exactly.
But you can't really worry too much about crazy
anyway,
people.
Anyway, folks, Fleshlight's a hell of a product.
Torture your Fleshlight. Fucking strangle that bitch before you fuck
stress,
it.
That was the best Fleshlight commercial ever. If you go to joerogan.net, click on the Fleshlight link, enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off. How's that?
Fleshlights don't have hearts.
They don't. Yeah, but don't be mean to them.
Fuck it always.
It's a spiritual thing.
Well, do you think there's people that are mean to them and that's what they get off on?
Could be.
Like punching it?
We're also brought to you by Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, the cognitive enhancing supplement. New Mood, the 5 serotonin enhancing supplement. We also have Shroom Tech Sport and Immune. One of them is great for endurance. And the other one is a little pump me up for your immune system. It's all explained on Onnit.com. It's all stuff that I use and we use, and it's all right now. Today is Monday. This is the last day, March 19th. Ooh. Until midnight, it's 35% off if you just of single 30 count bottles if you just use the code on it. Or excuse me, try it. TRYIT. So if you use the code TRYIT just today, if you're listening on Ustream, and the iTunes people probably missed this.
35%
off. But there's always 10% off. Every order, you can always use the code name Rogan and get 10% off. And we stand by all this stuff. And it's also 100% money back guarantee on the first count of pills. So if you buy like a 30 count bottle, it's 100% money back guarantee. You don't have to return the product. If you don't like it, you just say it and you get your money back. We are, the most important thing is we are much more concerned with not having a bunch of people that feel like they got ripped off. Much more concerned with that than with making money. And it's all products that I use and I believe in. I've been a fan of nootropics and vitamins and minerals for a long time. And if you're interested in nootropics, it's nootropics. And they're essentially nutrients that stimulate brain function. They stimulate your neurotransmitters. It's all fascinating stuff. And it's very controversial, but I've been a big supporter of it for a while. So Google that. Go check out nootropics. Check out Onnit, O-N-N-I-T. And if you want to buy anything, use the code name Rogan. Get yourself 10% off. All right, freaks. Ari the Great is here.
Right.
My pal Ari Shaffir.
The Joe Rogan
ready
Experience.
To break shit down.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
That was one of the greatest moments.
That's my favorite. I wait for that. I realized as this music started, I'm like, oh, I want to wait for that DS clip.
That was the coolest shit ever when he did that. In the middle of the fucking octagon when he said that, I was like, wow, we just got the best commercial of all time. Nick Diaz throws his arms up in the air.
Yeah.
Says Joe Rogan podcast.
Somebody got mad at me on Twitter recently for going against the suspension. We're talking ill of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if folks don't know, Nick Diaz got suspended, or he's in the process of a hearing right now about his use of marijuana. He only tested positive for the metabolites in his system, and I guess what his lawyer is arguing is that metabolites aren't illegal and that the marijuana is illegal, and you're not allowed to have marijuana in your system, but you don't even have a law for metabolites.
Oh, I thought it was like metabolites are only remnants, and the last time he was smoking when he got those remnants was when he was legally smoking with the state of California.
Well, the metabolite that actually was in his system is an inert metabolite. The metabolite that he tested positive for is not psychoactive.
Oh.
So the only thing that he tested positive for was a non-psychoactive cannabinoid. There's, you know, I don't know how many cannabinoids. I shouldn't talk about this until I like talk to Todd McCormick.
Why don't they just let him smoke pot, though? It's like, it's not a performance-enhancing drug, and it doesn't hurt the person.
I get in this argument with people, a lot of people have been angry at me about this because I've said that I think marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug. And it is if you're good. It is if you're good with pot, and it is if you're good with the martial arts. It is enhancing. It's not necessarily enhancing. Like, you could give it to one guy, and his emotions and his nerves and everything, just because of the fact that he's about to enter into a cage fight, it might overwhelm him, and he might just lose his shit. But you could give it to, like, I guarantee you could give some weed to BJ Penn, and he'd go out and fuck people up.
Yeah,
BJ Penn, I don't think he would have any problem with it. He's an OG, you know what I mean? He's a veteran.
So you think he'd be better?
I think the jiu-jitsu, those guys never roll sober. You got to understand, there's a lot of these guys, like high-level guys.
So they just try to get back in the same place.
I don't want to name any names because some people don't like people talking about it. So I'm going to tell you about high-level jiu-jitsu guys that you've heard of, like in videos, and everybody like mimics them with their own game. A lot of those guys smoke weed. A lot. Like, it's a big percentage. Yeah. And they smoke weed and train, you know. And look, I always go back to Eddie Bravo, you know, because he's my best friend, but he's also one of the best jiu-jitsu instructors in the world. And I've never seen Eddie do jiu-jitsu when he wasn't high.
Sometimes he gets so high he can barely teach. He's like, and I don't know where I was going.
But he'll tell you that it enhances him. He'll tell you that it enhances his sensitivity. It puts you in the flow better. It lets you...
Okay, but so does, let's just say, vitamin B or whatever else.
Oh, no, they're very different, though. Vitamin B is very good as far as your body's ability to perform, yes, but not as far as being able to change your state. Yeah. The idea, the thing about marijuana is it's so euphoric and it's so mind expanding, and it's what it does when you have the feeling. This is, by the way, is not for everybody. Obviously, everybody's brain works in different ways, but with my personal experience, I get this wave of understanding when I get high, and that prepares me for things, man. That's one of the reasons why I like to get high before I do big giant shows.
Yeah, it slows everything down for me. I play poker tournaments high.
Yeah, pool is fantastic high. I play a ball better when I'm high.
Really?
Yeah.
That's another thing you'll say at a tournament. You'll see all the poker pros, running to their cars at breaks.
Yeah, marijuana is an enhancer. It is an enhancer. It just is.
Do you think it affects your judgment, though, to do stuff? Like in jiu-jitsu.
Defend?
You watch a movie stoned, and you might think it's awesome. The next day, you think it sucks.
Right.
If you're doing jiu-jitsu with somebody or MMA, maybe you would do something you normally wouldn't do because you're thinking something different, you know?
Well, you could, but that could lead... See, what you're saying is like that
take
you
more
would
chances
make.
Or
you,
more
hold
chance
on a second. But what you're saying is that you would like make a big mistake. I think
not big mistake. You'd just do something that you normally wouldn't do.
Right. Well, that would be a positive though. A lot of the times, as long as you're good. Again, as long as you're good, because if you're a good jiu-jitsu player, if you're a good grappler, you have a fundamental understanding of where you're supposed to put yourself, where you're in danger, where you're not in danger, what can be done. You know, there's all these moves tie into each other. You know, when you learn how to do butterfly hooks. You know, you learn how to manipulate people's bodies.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden becomes a way to move people around, just like with your hands.
Yeah.
And that adds to all these other techniques that you do. So there's like there's like literally a limitless number of moves and positions. I mean, there's so many different variations, so many different counters to those variations that as long as you have a deep understanding of positions, and as long as you have a deep understanding of what's dangerous and what's not, you're not going to usually put yourself in a bad spot. I mean, occasionally, if you're training with friends, you'll like say, can I do this? Let me just try to do this. Because you won't worry, like if you get mounted or something like that. You know, you're not like in a competition where it's for your life. Whereas if you were in a fight, you wouldn't try this position.
Yeah.
But I think that's where a lot of like new moves come from.
Yeah, because it helps you like with stand-up where it helps you riff a little more. Like, let me try this. But that can also lead to a bad place where you're like, that went nowhere.
Fuck up, man. All the time. We both do it all the time. Yeah. I mean, I did it this past weekend a couple of times.
It's like two out of three fuck-ups. It's like plenty of like...
But when you're doing new shit, when you're doing new shit, especially like at the Ice House, I did a lot of new shit this weekend. And, you know, I'm preparing for this special in Atlanta, which, by the way, if you go to my Twitter feed or go to joerogan.net, there's a link for it. We're at the Tabernacle on 420, and I'm going to be filming my special.
Did you already sell one show?
Yeah. The first show's gone, and then the second one's selling fast. So if you want to get in, I would love to have you guys come down. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be crazy. I'm psyched.
It was crazy
to do it.
Last time.
I'm psyched to do it in Atlanta too, because I haven't been in Atlanta in a long time.
What is a tabernacle?
Tabernacle.
Brian, that's in the video.
What is the tabernacle? What is it? Like, what is that? Is
what's
that like
a
is that like a nut? Because everyone acts everyone knows what one of those is. I've never heard of one.
It's just a name.
Tabernacle. Well, that's always like the Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah, it's a nice name for something.
For
like,
what?
You know, it's like it's, I don't know. I mean, I should.
I don't know. Look it up. What is tabernacle?
I have no idea. I feel like I'm stupid for not knowing what it is.
Yeah, if like you told me it was the Tabernacle Buffet, I would say, wow, it must be an excellent buffet. I'm sure it's like
that buffet's regal as fuck.
It's like Rolls Royce or something. You know, it's like some
tabernacle.
Wikipedia. Residence or dwelling place. Wow, the tabernacle. It's Hebrew, bro.
That's why I don't.
It's English.
It's your people, man. How the
it
fuck
comes
do you not know
Hebrew.
This? Yeah, well, that's what I mean. The tabernacle is a residence or a dwelling place according to the Hebrew Torah, Old Testament.
See, it just sounds annoying.
Well, I don't know, you know, how that got to Atlanta. Is there a lot of Jews in Atlanta?
No.
Christians started using it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I guess so. Or maybe that was the English translation for a hut or something.
That's interesting. So it's just a house. It's like a super fancy way to say house.
Tabernacle.
Yeah.
You're right. I've never known what that word meant.
So that's where we're at. Tabernacle. And it's on 420, which is
what's
just so silly.
Choir?
We had to do it.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's so silly we had to do it.
When you told me you were thinking about it, I was like, no, dude, let's probably just do that.
No, I'm. It cost us extra money to do it this way.
Cause, really?
Everybody else wanted to do it the next month. But I was like, you know what? It's 420. It's just so silly.
Yeah.
Let's just get in there. Just get in there and film it on 420. It's just so perfectly goofy. You know? It is. You know, I mean, fucking, I love how Doug Benson does his 420 shows at 4:20 in the afternoon. Because, look, yes, it's preposterous, it's silly, it's ridiculous. It's number, but
something we all agree on.
He's cut out everybody but his hardcore fans. He's getting, you know, he's getting
showing up at 4:20 in the afternoon on a Sunday to watch.
Hey, there aren't casual Doug Benson fans showing.
Do you guys ever have a screen name that had the 420 in it?
No. How dare you? All
right. You did?
Did you have...
Clearly you did.
Did you ever have one that had 69 in it?
probably. I definitely had Red Band 420 back in the
2012,
day.
Bro. Yeah. No, I never did.
AOL or something.
Wait, let me ask you a question, though. Okay. Ah, fuck it. Who cares?
No, ask.
Why should something, if it just enhances yourself, why should certain those things
be banned? Okay, back to the weed being an enhancer. Well, it's all in what does it, you know... Look, the reality is everything you take is a performance enhancer, from vitamins to minerals to a good diet.
Isn't it just what's harmful for your body? That's what they try to outlaw?
No. What they're trying to outlaw is, what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop low-level physical engineering. And that's what steroids are. It's low-level. It's inevitable that they're going to come out with nanobots. It's inevitable they're going to have the ability to literally change your genome. It's inevitable. It's coming. It's going to happen.
The doctor in Star Trek, Deep Space Nine,
He was all genomed up, right?
He could have bullseyes every time.
It might not be in our lifetime. I mean, it might be in another lifetime after us. But sometime, if you look, as long as we don't blow ourselves up or get hit,
we'll make everything better. Why wouldn't we?
We're gonna make things better. There's no way. There's not a technological wall they're gonna hit. These fucking guys are coming up with incredible discoveries, and these incredible discoveries actually make those other incredible discoveries easier. So I mean, all the technology essentially works together as far as like computer processing power. And as far as knowledge gained and learned, and you build on that, instead of having to redo those experiments to get to a certain point, you're already far, far along the process, and then these new minds just add to it. They're going to figure out a way to do something that's way crazier than steroids. They're going to figure out a way to make Dr. Manhattans. They're going to figure out a way to make giant blue dudes with giant blue dicks. And I mean, it's going to be real. It's going to be unstoppable. Once it becomes an actual technology.
Once they get over the morals.
Yeah.
Then
it's only a matter of time. Is it 100 years? Is it 200 years?
We'll breed workers?
Yeah.
Breed workers?
We will be unrecognizable 200 years from now. If as long as we stay alive.
And keep cloning and getting more and more stuff.
We're trying really hard to fuck it up. We're trying really hard to eat every fish in the fucking ocean and then throw all of our shit in there and plastic.
People live longer. They accomplish more things.
Yeah, but we're still trying to fuck up the ocean.
We're going to overcrowd this place.
Yeah, that's an issue. You know, they say you can produce enough food in like one state of the country. You know, if you take like North Carolina, if you filled North Carolina with farms, you could produce enough food to feed the whole world. But I say, fuck you. I say, you're crazy. I think your calculations suck dick.
Way off.
Yeah, you could barely have people scratch by. And North Carolina's not that big, stupid. And by the way, those people are just going to make more people. And then what are you going to do? You're going to move into South Carolina?
Take over really that and make that a farm? Assuming there was like a line up to the door of North Carolina.
Right now, I think we're okay. And we'll probably be okay for another generation. But we're eventually going to reach a point in time where there's too many people. I mean, we're okay here in America. They're certainly not okay in other parts of the world.
Population bomb, population explosion. Rachel Carson and her husband wrote books about it.
Yeah.
But that's the number one problem for a population, is when it explodes and can't sustain itself.
Yeah, I mean, it has to.
Because it reproduces exponentially instead of geometrically. So it's not like two this year, two more next year, two more. It's like two, then five, then nine, then 20. You know, 20.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
Fuck.
So it'll be at the last minute. I'll just go, bloop, and we'll just fill this place up, and we'll all just humongous plague.
Yeah. That's a real issue, right?
Yeah.
How do you stop that?
Rain is going to come.
You know, you got to wonder. You got to wonder if, you know, human population has like a number, like a cap.
Reset
that you
button.
Have to keep it at.
I think that's what AIDS is.
Really?
AIDS, the plague. It's all just nature's way of
saying, balancing it out.
Trying to fight it.
Well, how come there's less plague today then? That doesn't make any sense. There's way more people. Way more people, but way less plague.
I think things come up because of it.
Well, I think sort of, but we combat that with science.
Yeah, so we're outdoing nature's way of combating it.
Yeah, we're greedy bitches.
Like your body can fight off certain diseases, but when it's presented with too many coughs, it's like, I'm out.
Right.
It's all my blood cells are gone.
Right. Yeah, I wonder what I mean. Somebody actually brought that argument up recently. I forget where it was, but the idea was that a virus was actually engineered. That viruses and engineered by nature to attack humans.
Yeah, keep us off. Yeah,
isn't that fucked up?
I think we just have 1,000 words.
You know, that's all we got left.
1,000 words.
What is that? Eddie Murphy movie.
How dare you?
Another, when is he going to stop making bad movies? Another, doesn't he have enough money?
Another 0% on Rotten Tomatoes too. Last I checked.
You can just not make any movies if you want. Hmm. You have enough. It can't be about the money. It can't be.
Go back to comedy.
But that guy was hilarious. Weed. So like, I know he can do that. He has moments.
We got to get him on weed. I find him.
He doesn't smoke pot.
I don't know. His brother does. Charlie smokes weed. I never smoked weed.
He must have tried it.
I'm sure
his brother did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Why do we think he didn't?
Charlie Murphy gets high as fuck.
Really?
Yeah, he gets high. He smokes blunts. He smokes those ones with the tobacco on the outside. Yeah. We got high. That was a totally different high. That's weird. That's a weird high, man. We were in a limo. Well, the tobacco's not mixed in. It's the leaf. Yeah,
okay. That's not
bad. By the way, yeah, it is bad. Here's the deal: you're not supposed to smoke cigar leaves. You just inhale. You puff those.
Oh, but they're smoking.
But they're inhaling them. So they're taking these cigar leaves that you're not supposed to be inhaling in the first place.
Yeah.
And they're inhaling them with their weed. It's craziness. I'm like, this is not the way to do it, man. You know, they like to do those real Philly blunts.
So where they like Phillies. Get fucked up. They're like, give me the worst shit. Just fuck me up.
Phillies are disgusting. The idea that you would take one of those shitty cigars.
Those sweets.
Shitty grandpa cigars and actually inhale it. Oh,
it's
my
like tiramisu. You
so
get have
sick.
It once in a while. You don't do it every day.
I had a couple cigars. Before they were like sweetened cigars.
Yeah.
Have you ever had those before?
Swisher Sweets.
Yeah. Swisher Sweets, yeah.
But those are the grandpa version of that.
The grape ones are good
too. You get a nice buzz off a cigar. That's what people don't know. You know, a lot of people don't know. You can get just as high off a good cigar as you can off shitty
My
weed.
First cigarette, I smoked like once every few weeks, you know, like when I just in college or when I just start, it was like when you have one, it's like, whoa, it's a major buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. The real, a deep tobacco buzz. Like, especially real tobacco, like cigar tobacco, it's nice. It's a nice feeling. I mean, those dudes aren't doing that just because it looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting high. They're getting high from that tobacco. It's a weird high.
They're getting nasty.
The Sklar Brothers, I used to smoke before I played basketball outside on the courts, and I got picked up once. I'm like, all right, come on, we're starting. So I had to, like, take my last few puffs off a cigarette. And this, I forget if it was Randy or Jason, but one of them was like, Ari, you have to quit smoking. I was like, I know. They're like, it's bad for your health. I'm like, I know. And they're like, it makes you stink. I'm like, I know. And they're like, it's not cool. I'm like, well, that's where you're wrong. Clearly, it's cool. That's the only reason anyone has ever started smoking.
It's cool?
It's cool.
How's it cool?
Cool people, that's just always been a cool thing.
It's been an I don't give a fuck thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason why people smoke cigarettes, is because they don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. You know, you see a private investigator in a movie and he's taking a drag off his cigarette. That guy doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He's not even, you know, he's feeding his own monster. Feeding his own monster with a cigarette.
It's funny when you see actors smoke cigarettes. Him.
It is weird.
Because you never see him in movies do it, but it's only when they're off.
I see a lot of them on set.
Yeah.
You see them stamp out, and I'm trying to quit, and they're always trying to quit. Puffing a little.
They just go until you're ready to quit, and then quit. One or the other. Yeah.
The best is when you're on a set and everybody's high. When you get on one of those sets.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody's high, all the writers are high, the actors getting high, director's high.
That's great.
Those are the real movies.
We did. Me and Renazizi did those Tiger Woods commercials. And so then he left, and we had to keep talking trash to ourselves as we played the video game.
Right.
And they were like, want some beers? We're like, okay. And they just started giving us beers, the production company. And then they're like, keep talking trash, whatever. And they're like, you want to smoke some pot? And we're like, you better not. We're not going to get any work done if you do that. But this is very cool of you guys.
That's awesome. Yeah, if you're with a good group of people, man,
yeah,
they want to have fun. That's the way to have fun. You know, I mean, think about how we do the podcast. You know, we get high before every single one of them. We're always doing the ice houses drunk.
Yeah.
I brought a bottle of wine last night.
Did you really? Just like, I'm going to drink
this. You're classy.
Yeah.
I brought a bottle of wine. We're drinking wine out of paper or plastic cups.
Why not?
It's fucking great, man. You know? It was decent wine. At Cavaretta's. Cavaretta's Deli in Canoga Park. That place, that Italian place. Holy shit, is that place good.
Really?
Yeah, I picked up a bottle of wine and some sandwiches. Boom!
That's
it's
nice.
The only place here on the West Coast where you can get like real East Coast Italian food.
Cavaretta's?
Cavaretta's, yeah. It's in Canoga Park. It's fucking sandwiches are amazing.
What's Canoga Pork?
They have a sausage and pepper sub that I cannot not get. I have to get it every time. I always say, well, I'm going to experiment this time. Nope. I got to get the sausage and pepper because it's so ridiculous. To eat a whole one, you have to be some kind of massive. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. You have to be some crazed glutton to eat a whole one. I have eaten a whole one
before. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm sure you have. You're an animal.
When we took Joey.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen you at Greasy Tony's or whatever those places were where you got the garbage pail.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. And I was like, got the small. And I was like, this is way too much for me. And yeah. You're just killing yours. I'm like, fries, please.
That's
what?
That sub was dangerous. That was like
Greasy Tony's?
Yeah, Greasy. That was like liquid death.
Greasy Tony died of heart failure at 52.
Yeah, I know. Glad I only had like seven of those.
I think he was in his 60s. I think he was in his 60s. He might have actually even been 70. He actually looked good for his age. He looked a lot younger than he was. But yeah, he did die of heart failure.
What if he was like 24?
When a guy named Greasy Tony dies of heart failure. But I tell you what, man, I always loved being around that guy. We got pictures for years.
Yeah,
us and Greasy Tony's. This was in Tempe, Arizona, right across the street from the Improv. There was this 24-hour Italian joint run by this guy from Jersey, and he was a great old character.
Yeah.
We would just hang out there after the shows. He was so like cool to be around, like just to get to hang out with a real character like that guy. You know, like you look in the walls, it was all like his pictures when he was young, like his sons are all flexing. There's a picture of the Godfather, a picture of the sign by Sylvester Stallone. Like, it's like, it's so classic old East Coast Italian. It's like, to me, and he was so friendly. He was like such a nice guy that like you would go there. It was like, you know, like going over your friend's living room or something. It just happened to be his pizzeria. Hey, look at that. Comes out behind the counter. He's hugging you and shit. Greasy Tony was awesome. What a great guy. And the food was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
When you're hammered and you're coming off of two shows at the Tempe Improv.
It was a really good
drink.
Like,
yeah, let's go eat. And you have one of those subs, those fucking steak subs that he had. The thing called the garbage pail that you were talking about. What does it weigh? 4 pounds? 5 pounds?
I don't know.
It was ridiculous.
It was gross. Yeah. And it was just massive. Dripped grease.
It was like no bullshit.
It was just oil.
It was close to 2 feet long.
Let me soak this in oil before you before you eat it too.
It was
oil onto
I'm not bullshitting. It was at least 18 inches long. They were fucking huge. They would cut them in half, and each one of them, each half would look like a big sub.
This is too much. This half is too much for me.
And I would eat the fuck out of that shit.
God. It was like the leg of Esther. That's pretty much what it was like.
Whenever we order food at a restaurant, you go first, and then the waitress is like, "All right, thank you," and she starts to leave. And you're like, "No, that's just for me. Here, my friends want
after shows."
She's
man,
like, "What?"
I get famished after shows. You know, you think about the energy that you put out when you're on stage. You know, just focusing and managing everything. It's a lot of mental energy, you know, physical energy, moving around. It's a lot of energy. You know, it's a big burn. It's a lot going on. You have to be in shape to do stand up to do it right. I mean, you could do it if you're out of shape, but guarantee you'd be better if you were in shape.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a guy like Ralphie, look how much better would Ralphie may be if he weighed 180 pounds.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, his timing, the way his brain would work, the way his body would move, you know, it's amazing when I see a guy like Ralphie.
He could definitely be a lot more physical.
Think about how many goddamn shows he does, how much energy that is. That's incredible what Ralphie does.
He said he jumped 2 pant sizes.
That's great.
I'm good pair. Yeah.
Well, he had like some serious health issues, right?
Yeah.
He stopped smoking weed. He said the doctor told him to stop smoking. I don't know if he stopped eating it.
No, he stopped eating it too.
Really?
Yeah. He said that's the stuff in there.
Say goodbye to all that funny shit.
He doesn't mind if you smoke around him, but his immune system's all shot to hell.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Man, he was obviously you cannot get that big. He's Ralphie's. If you don't know Ralphie May, he's probably about 500 pounds. At least, right? It is the sweetest guy in the world.
He's so sweet. Such I'm so worried about him.
Does he sound
the
same?
We all worry about him. Well, as he loses weight, he'll definitely his voice will change for
he's
sure.
He's going to start having like a British accent.
Probably.
He'll sound royal.
So you still smoking the weed, Joe?
I don't know what makes someone get that big. I would be out of school to talk about it. I don't know if it's biological. It seems to me that it's a very recent phenomenon in human history.
To get that big?
Yeah. I don't think people got that big a couple hundred years ago.
My friend Big J is losing weight now. He got Patrice'd out.
Who's Big J?
Big J Okerson. He's just a really funny New York comic.
Oh, okay.
He's like massive.
Yeah. Oh, he's losing weight?
Yeah. After Patrice died, it's the same thing. It's like wake up calls, everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's very important. It's very important to take care of your fucking body. We're all going to go, man, but you don't need to go early. You don't need to go because that's going to be a terrible feeling to go because you treated your vehicle like shit. That's not what you should do.
They did this benefit in D.C. for this comic who had a stroke but didn't have insurance. Mm-hmm. And then every third comic was like, yeah, this will be for me in 6 months. But it's like, it will be. You guys are all getting fatter. Stop.
You know, this really brings up a really interesting point because the ability when someone is fucked, when they're done, when you're paralyzed from the neck down, you can't move, the ability to terminate their own life and to decide, like, you know, some of them can, like, they can blink and move a cursor and stuff, and they can, like, write things like, I want to die, please kill me.
Yeah.
There was a woman who wrote this article, and this woman's name is Allison Pearson. She wrote this article about, do any of us, however ill, have the right to die? And this was her argument. Her argument was that you don't have the right. It is one of the dumbest, fucking, most simpleton mouth diarrhea takes on the subject I've ever read. It's not thoughtful.
Oh, really?
It's silly.
Of course you have the right to die. It's your own... rights are given to us by others in order for us to live together. But it's like you can do whatever you want to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right? What do you mean?
It's completely preposterous. I mean, it's one of the dumbest arguments that anyone can ever make. And it's just a really
poorly... So what'd she say? What was she saying?
Well, she said that... I didn't even want to read because it's horrible. But the point is she contradicted herself because she had actually written another one. Another article a couple years back where she was praising a woman for killing her daughter because her daughter had a fatal disease and she was just slowly suffering.
So we have the right to kill others but not ourselves?
It's preposterous. She also wrote a really dumb article.
Who hired her? Was
she she writes for some English newspaper.
I think she's just ragging.
Well, maybe 24/7. She writes for the
Telegraph. Is there any chance you meant that as a double play on the word rag?
She writes for the Telegraph. So here's my point. So the other day, I look on my website, and there's a thread that says women versus Doug Stanhope.
Yeah.
So I go, oh, what the fuck did Doug do? This could be great. Yeah. By the way, Doug's latest CD is fucking fantastic.
If you
haven't heard it, it's great.
I just got it.
Boy, made me laugh. You know what's great when you hear a guy and... I got to be honest, his last one that he did in Norway, the Oslo one, it wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my favorite out of his stuff. And I love Doug. He's fucking awesome. But this one, man, it's almost like he rebounded from that one just like with renewed vigor and hate and just fucking and attacked. It's great. It's so good. Like, there's some really fucking hard laughs in it. Yeah, it's great. It's one of my favorite stand-up comedy CDs in years. It's my favorite. I think it's my favorite of Doug's. I think he just, whatever the fuck he did, whether, he even talks about it, how he turned a corner as a person, where he doesn't give a fuck anymore. He's just trying to have fun. He's not trying to change the world. He thought he was going to try to change the world at one point.
Yeah, now he finally realized he's just one dude.
Yeah, he's just here to tell dick jokes. And it's fucking great. Huh. It's great. And so I had I tweeted about it. And it's hard to follow everything the fuck that's going on Twitter. So I didn't see this women versus Doug Stanhope thing. So I go to Stanhope. Stanhope read what this woman had wrote. And let me find the exact quote because it was pretty inflammatory. Something about he said that he hopes she gets a cyst.
Did he write this?
Yeah. I mean, he's just really angry at this article. And, you know, that's what Stanhope does. He gets fired up and he wants to figure out some way to, you know, to turn this rage into comedy. What is his exact quote? I can't find it. He said that he wished a cyst on her ovaries or something like that.
To see what she would do?
Yeah. I can't even find it. He might have actually taken the first quote down.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I caught a lot of flack for it?
I don't know. That doesn't seem like him.
So what was the thing? Women against Doug Stanhope?
Yeah. I can't find it.
Was there a backlash?
Well, this is what's crazy. So Doug Stanhope calls her a cunt, and he said that she was fucking ridiculous, and there's a shit article, and it's about something that is very near and dear to Doug, because that's what his mom had to do. His mom had to take her own life.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so for some
his fucking, mom did that from yeah. the Man Show.
Yes. So for what? some smug asshole to come and, you know, and just pass judgment like this and do it with such poor thinking. It's just, it's really poorly written. It reeks of a mediocre mind. It reeks of someone who is just, they're not capable of grasping how a lot of other people are going to see this. And they don't have enough perspective to tackle this complex issue. And that's, it's insulting. It's insultingly dumb. And so Stanhope, you know, shit all over this lady. So her response was to create this Women Against Doug Stanhope page on Facebook. And awesome. Yeah, women. So it's also on Twitter. Women versus Stanhope on Twitter, and Women versus Stanhope.
Wait, why women?
On Facebook? Exactly.
Isn't it a Right to Die show?
Exactly. No, because he asked for assist.
Oh,
because he said he called her a cunt, and she said he hopes she gets assist.
Can we? Anyone join?
Like, I think he said a fetid ovarian cyst. Yes. Well, that's the problem. This is what I was going to say. The problem is the only people that joined Women versus Stanhope both on Twitter, me. And on Facebook, me.
You're the only ones to join?
No, it's me and all the fucking Stanhope fans from the Rogan board and all the people who heard about this.
So they all joined?
Nobody's going to fucking Women versus Stanhope. Bitch, get the fuck out of here. There's a few crazy hookers that are looking to get mad at any guy who says anything bad to any woman anywhere. I think some women
just hear a quote, women against somebody, just go, oh, sure, I'll sign up
of
for it.
Of course. I read this one lady's take on it. You know, misogynist like Stanhope. Like, what are you fucking talking about? What are you saying? Dummy. This is he made a personal attack on her, but that's not the important part. The important part is this nonsensical argument by a fucking dullard saying that really terminally ill people who are in horrible straits shouldn't be able to stop their time on this life.
Yeah.
That somehow or another, what, is there some grand plan that has to pay out? Is there some pill that you know about that we don't? Is there some new leaf that we're going to find in the Amazon that restores this 80-year-old guy who's paralyzed from the neck down? Jesus fucking Christ, bitch. You don't know what you're talking about. You're talking nonsense. You shouldn't be allowed to be in a position where you have an opinion that can be expressed and then can influence people.
Yeah, who's
you're
hiring
too
her?
Fucking stupid
yeah.
for that.
What is she work, who does she work for? Yeah.
She works for this fucking newspaper, man.
This is why I try not to say bitch the Telegraph. When I'm in an argument with a woman, because I'm like, I don't want this to be about female or male at all. Like, I just want you to know that you're stupid. So I try not to use gender-specific words.
Yeah, this is a. It's just you don't have to gender specific with this lady. I haven't. I don't think I have. But unless I called her a bitch. But the way I say that, I call that.
But I'm like, saying that's what happens when Doug uses a cunt. It's not his fault, but that's what they latch onto.
Yeah, I use where it's like bitch with my best friends. I was like, bitch, you crazy? I mean, I'm not saying she's a bitch as a woman.
Yeah, but that's what they latch onto. And you're like, why? That's not what we're even talking about.
Well, because they want to be able to say you hate women.
Of course I do. The worst.
Well, the women
you
versus
really hate women.
I don't hate them, but as a whole, I just definitely look down on them.
You definitely look down on them?
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is,
like, I can't help it.
I look down on men too. There's a lot of men out there that are bitches. I run into a lot of very unfortunate men out there in this world.
Yeah.
That if I was a woman, I would be sad. If I was a woman and I wanted to have a real man, good luck. Good luck finding one of those fucking things.
Yeah. There's like a specific type of female drunk that I hate, but there's also a specific type of male drunk that I hate.
Yeah,
too.
I don't, dude. I would way rather there's be a guy than be. I think there's way more women that are cool than there are men that are cool. There's too many douchebags out there that have some weird chip on their shoulder. You know, there's some weird need to prove themselves, and there's just too many aggressively cunty men. You know,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of cunty women, but I think there's way more cunty men. This is fucking people.
There's a lot of guys that are just going like this, just beating their chest and trying to like, and like, why? Why? Why are you fighting? What are you doing? Who wants this?
They never train. If they just train, they would never do that. You know, you go with a bunch of guys who are like jiu-jitsu guys, go out there like the nicest, most polite people ever, you know?
It can be easier.
Yeah. It's way easier. Stupid.
You know what I realize? You know, sometimes I used to do this thing, I don't do it anymore, where it's like, you're at a yellow light and you try to like pause far enough so the car behind you misses the light and you get to go through it. But I'm like, the amount of energy it takes to do that would be equal to the amount of energy to speed up and get the guy in behind you. The game works either way. You're trying to accomplish something.
Yeah, that's a total cunt move,
It's like you can be nice and still have the fun of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's...
I think people just get locked into a wave.
It's absolutely people get locked into a way of thing. And you can also get locked into frustration. Some of the most aggressive people I've met were the most unsuccessful. The, yeah. You know, the most frustrated. The reason why they were just like constantly involved in conflict is because they were dealing with a lot of internal conflict and no confirmation of anything good. No confirmation of goodness from, you know, their life. You know, there's no confirmation of them being worth something. They were always getting dumped in relationships or, you know, in the middle of fighting with their, you know, boss.
Yeah, so they just shit on everything.
There was always conflict. And when you're in that situation, that constant state of...
That's your norm?
Of unease, that's, yeah.
Comes your, like, your baseline?
Yeah, it's fucking, it's the worst. It's the worst to be around. Yeah, it's the worst to be around. But the reality is, you and I have it far easier than the average person. There was a threat on the underground.
Yeah, but I think the average person isn't like that. I think that's a lot of people, but I think the average person's cool.
You're absolutely right. But I'm saying the average person is under a lot more stress.
Yeah.
It seems like stand-up comics would be under a lot of stress, and we're sort of, but it's kind of a different stress. Yeah. There was a thread on the underground talking about Sunday night. And the guy's like, man, fucking Sunday night. Some dude just reached out. He goes, Sunday nights are depressing. You know, do you guys find Sunday depressing? And fucking everybody's like, yes, I hate Sunday night. I hate going back to work. It makes me sick. And I'm sitting here. I'm just relaxing. I'm dreading. I'm dreading that I got to go to work in the morning. And I'm like, wow. That's when you really realize how stupid lucky we are. Stupid lucky to be stand-up comedian. I've been stupid lucky across the board. I mean, even Fear Factor, I never woke up and was like really mad that I had to go and make retarded amounts of money to watch and do that. It wasn't my favorite thing to do, but I was never mad at it. But the dude's like stand-up or anything like that or work for the UFC, it doesn't even feel like a job. It's something you actually look forward to. You know,
I try to do sometimes when I'm like tired and I don't want to go to some awesome gig or get on the plane to go to some great place. I'm like, I have it worse than Ethiopia. Just like put it out how ridiculous it is. Like, relax, dude. You can complain, but keep it set.
Say it out loud. You should put that on your wall. I have it worse than Ethiopia. It'll like force you to just not be a bitch.
This ice cream is melty. I have it worse than Ethiopia.
Yeah, there's
it's like, let me complain, but obviously I'm fine.
It's super easy to get into a shit mindset. The bottom line is that life is a struggle. It's a constant struggle. And doing anything is a struggle. Like we were talking about our, you know, writing new material. We're both doing that right now. We're both, you know, you go up and sometimes it just eats dick. It's not working.
It's hard sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know where you're going with something because it's a new bit and you're trying. You try to say it one way and now you try it another way, but then it sort of diffuses the second part of it and then you got to listen to it and go over it and maybe rewrite it. It's a weird process.
And sometimes you're like, okay, this section just needs work. And then the next time you're like, it still needs work. Yeah. And the next time you're like, damn it.
And then sometimes
nothing's coming.
Bits just show up done.
Oh yeah.
You know, sometimes like you get an idea, and I have gotten an idea on the way to a show and then got to the show and then boom, the bit was done.
Yeah.
And it was it kills like an old bit.
Yeah.
You know, one of my bits from my
Facebook thing, the first time you said it.
Yeah. Which Facebook thing? Wait a minute.
I don't want to ruin one of your jokes for your special. If this is the premise, if they had Facebook in like the 1800s.
Oh yeah.
That came out like immediately. Like that was that night. It was some big theater. I forget where.
Yeah. Sometimes,
and it was like that's really funny.
That's a tag though. That was sort of easy because it was the big premise had already been set.
Oh right, you're saying the whole thing.
Yeah, but it's weird, man. The process is so weird. The process of creating new stuff, but it's so exciting too. It just gets you like real stimulated. Like that's my favorite time
because
it's the most unsteady time. You're going out there with all these like fucking weak ass weapons.
Yeah,
you know? It's like you're playing. It's like you become a bad motherfucker at StarCraft or World of Warcraft.
It's your first time getting to Mike Tyson in Punch Out. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he just knocks you out in two shots.
And then you quit. And then you start all over again as a with a new account.
Yeah, that's a better example. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, you're a noob with shit.
During that thing me and Renazisi did, we got to play Tiger Woods golf with Tiger Woods.
Right.
And he drove it off the tee once and he like went into this creek. He's like, I couldn't clear the creek. It was like 140 yards. Like, yeah, welcome to regular people golf, Tiger. Yeah, I'm just mumbling. I was like, that's how regular people do it.
You powered through that one, though.
I tried, then I got stuck in like a rut right there. That's in the skiff.
Worst feeling when you're on stage in the middle of a fucking perfect joke.
And you're like, come on, body, stop it.
Your body just hiccups on a word. Oh, God.
Damn, I'm ruining this whole moment.
I almost did that this week, and I paused myself, and it actually made the joke better.
Oh, really?
Like I almost fucked up. I had an almost fuck up where I felt it come out twisted. Like, why is my tongue this shape? I paused an extra second, and then I paused an extra second after the word, after I got it correct.
Yeah.
And it was like a better pause. It was
Sometimes you chance by stuff on accident, right? And you're
I realized, I was like, oh, yeah, that gives you more time. This, I am saying something kind of crazy right there. Maybe it gives, it's better to contemplate it for a moment.
Time to let it go through
before you hear the second step.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, you know, stand-up is, it's just...
technical.
Yeah, and you're doing it in front of different people. All, you know, you got an, that's the only art form that I know of where you literally need them to practice it in front of.
Otherwise,
I
need.
I don't know. I know some of the stuff is that's funny. You know, when I write it, I know some of the stuff that's going to kill.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff, every now and then, is some shit that you didn't even think was funny.
Yeah.
You thought it was like a throwaway, like,
what are you laughing at?
Crushes.
Yeah.
It could be like the biggest throwaway to you, and it just, and that's like the biggest laugh of the joke.
I find a lot of times that I'll do certain jokes that I really enjoy that may or may not get as big a laugh. But I'll do the jokes that get a humongous laugh that I'm like, yeah, I like it, but it's not my favorite. But you guys seem to like it.
Yeah.
So I'll keep that in there so you listen to these ones that I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a tool.
Yeah.
There's no substitute for fucking doing it on stage in front of people. There's no way around it. So I used to hear about Bill Cosby, that Bill Cosby would just write his whole routine and then just like go on The Tonight Show.
And just do it.
Yeah, he just did it. He would say he just knows what funny is.
Certain people, I guess, go differently.
I would like to see that dude. If he's in town, you want to see him with me?
Yeah. I totally would.
I bet he comes to town like once a year.
My first time in Montreal, I had to leave the day before he was there, and I was really upset.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do stand-up. Yeah, I would definitely see Bill Cosby. Because it's hard when you hear a lot of the veteran comics talk about him, because he's reached this deity status.
Yeah, you can't say
anything. They're not honest.
Yeah.
Because I remember the one time, you know, obviously George Carlin's one of the all-time greats. There's no doubt about it. He's like one of the greatest comedians that's ever lived.
Yeah.
But there was a time where he was coming to the Comedy Store and he was working on some new stuff and it was not good.
Yeah, his last or second, or maybe third to last special. But it was like, meh.
It wasn't good.
There was one good bit in there the hour.
And we all kind of sat around and
no one
wanted to say anything.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, and maybe you and I got together and we were like, it wasn't
good. In private.
It wasn't good. Yeah. But meanwhile, he's fucking one of the greatest of all time. But
yeah, you have to say, like, I'm not taking anything away from his overall achievements.
Yeah. Just this was that moment. Great. And it really, the reason was, the reason for it wasn't that he wasn't a good comic anymore. It's that he had an incredible workload. And he did the Louis C.K. thing where he was the originator of it. He would come up with a completely new act every year.
He would do like a dozen or two dozen specials,
it's
right?
It's incredible.
Like,
he was in his 60s, right? And he was, or was like,
in his 60s, maybe even older.
Yeah, and he's writing a whole new special and performing it every year.
He gave me $20. I went to the deli for him. They
really?
Sent me to the deli for him. He gave me $20. I was like, oh, it's on the house. He goes, yeah, I know. But yeah, it's for you. And I was like, thank you so much.
Yeah, you got $20 from George Carlin. You should have framed that shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think I needed to eat.
That's so courageous, too, that he would do that. That he would go out there.
Tip a Jew $20?
No.
No, I know.
Try out
every year.
Try out all the new shit and bomb. When he could just pull out, you know, hours of classics.
He
and
said
just
that
crush.
Before we used to work out. He would be like, I'm not doing the old stuff. Don't ask for it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's how he had to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing, really.
It's hard to put yourself in that position, but if you do it enough, if you practice enough, probably just the same thing as working out, you get to a place of like happier that you didn't just rely on the old material and you actually just went through the new stuff.
Yeah, but like, it's also, Gaffigan and I talked about this, and one of the things that he said was that you got to have both. He goes, it's really important to me to be really good, to have a good show. These people are paying a lot of money. I can't just work out in front of them. And I was like, you're right. I feel the same way. Like I sandwich new jokes in between.
Well, that's
like, already known killers.
That's why I love workout sets.
Yeah.
At the store or New York or anywhere. It's just like, this is just, you know, it's a fucking Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
No one's here to see anybody
specific.
Don't
you feel like that, you know, you got to, like, get the audience's sort of respect before you, like, start doing new shit? I feel like...
Here's what I'll do. I know what you mean. And it's like, you want to do an opener that's going to hit up right away?
Opener that works for sure.
And I'll find a new one. I'll find a new one for this year.
Okay.
By not having one, that'll make me find a new one.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, by not having a closer, that'll force me to get a closer. But if I do my ending, and then like, let me hit you with some great bit I know works, then I don't leave with that feeling of like, I need something better there.
Do you get bummed out if people send you like shitty messages about your show on Twitter?
No.
I thought you sucked.
Uh-uh. Because rarely is it super bad. I'm trying my best with whatever that new material is.
Right.
And then it gets better and better, so the more and more of it goes well.
Right.
Maybe then eventually all you need is just that closer. But the first 10 is great, you know, and then it becomes like so-so.
Yeah, we got to do some things, man. Let's go to Alaska or something like that. We
got
to do some
shit. I told
shit.
Your manager. Yeah. I already told him. I was like, he's going to forget again. So just look into it. I'm telling you, just look into it. The longest day of the year, Shroomfest, is July 21st to the
23rd. Oh. Can you get shrooms in Alaska?
Fuck, of course you can, right?
Listen to the way he says that. Of course you can.
There's no way that can't be true.
This is the guy who got almost got arrested at the Mall of America.
You, what you mean to say is this is the guy who got let off by the cops of Mall of America.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's one way of putting it. But you did get, I can't remember the last time the cops came at Mall of America to talk to me.
Yeah, I'm walking the line better.
Down. Did you ride the roller coaster at the Mall of America?
No, I didn't. It looks janky and old. Yeah. It's like done. Everything's from like 20
it's
years
inside?
Ago.
It's inside? Yeah. Inside roller coaster?
They have a water ride, too.
Jesus, warm ride would have how big that. Is the Mall of America?
It's the biggest mall.
No, Edmonton Mall in America. Yeah, Edmonton Mall's bigger.
In Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the biggest mall in the world?
I think so.
How do the
it's owned by the same people, though.
How does like Dubai, how do they tolerate the fact that we have the biggest mall? They must be going crazy.
Is there really people driving around with lions in their cars in Dubai?
Lions?
Like, have you seen those photos of just like
lions
Mercedes
in the car?
Driving by with a big like lion arm hanging out of the
no,
side?
No, I haven't seen it. No. There's a new show called The Shahs of Sunset. It's all Iranians.
It's all the Persians that are here?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just say this? You can disagree with me if you want. Okay. And I don't care. You can put this on the record. Okay. They're the worst of the whites.
Whoa.
Persians and Armenians.
You are the Jewiest Jew of all time. The way you said it.
The worst.
The worst of the whites.
Of all the whites. By
the
far.
Way you said that, though. You so, like, made a Jewy face. You just got it.
I'm becoming an old man.
Yes,
fuck.
Yes.
I'm becoming an old man set in his ways.
I worry about that, man. I say something. Like someone will say something. I'm like, what? What are you saying? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm an old guinea.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm some old guinea.
Tell me what I was supposed to become. Nothing had happened.
They're the worst. They're the worst of the whites. I'll tell you, they're the worst of the whites. They were fine. They were having a good time. I mean, they seemed like they were enthusiastic people.
Oh, this show.
You
got
to think about, yeah, there's the show.
They're driving their dad's daddy lacks.
The fucking people.
Working some store that was handed down to them.
I am all for anybody coming from somewhere that sucks like Iran and coming to America. And guess what? They're going to have some fucking growing pains. They're going to have to, I mean, it's a completely suppressed culture.
It's the ones that act overly that.
Most people are fine. Balling for the first time ever in like, you know, six generations. You know, I mean, think about that. They've come to America over the last. I mean, look, the whole hostage crisis shit happened in the Carter administration, and then they stopped calling themselves Iranians. Because I had an Iranian girlfriend when I was young.
She was Iranian then.
She was Iranian.
And then they changed to Persian.
And then they changed it to Persian.
Why? Because
they
got a bad rap?
Fucking nobody wanted to have anything to do with Iran, man. You don't know what it was like at that point. Like, when she was my girlfriend, this is like my first girlfriend ever. I was like 11 years old. There's this girl across the street, and her fucking mother, the mother was Iranian. She was half Iranian and half American, and the mother tried to stab the father with a knife while I was there. The cops got there. It was really crazy. It was a crazy little situation. She was a really nice girl, but like they were in like deep turmoil. Like her family was in deep
really
deep
trying
turmoil.
To get out.
No, I mean like the mother tried to kill the fucking father with a knife.
What?
Yeah, they got arrested while we were there. It was really crazy. But my point was, like, I got to see, like, you know, what it's like in their eyes to have escaped Iran.
Yeah.
You know, and Iran was, you know, it's a fucking dictatorship. I don't give a shit what anybody says. All those votings, and that's nonsense over there. There's a reason why everybody erupted and went fucking crazy after the last election. There's no real democracy going on in Iran.
Yeah, that's great.
Nothing anytime soon.
But, no, there's none.
It's a scary place.
Excuse your behavior when you come into a comedy club late at night and said, I'll buy this place.
Yeah, you know what it is, man? They're just like the guineas of the fucking 1930s. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's like
those are the second worst of the whites.
Listen, that's my people. I'm a Jersey Guinea. I was born in Newark, New Jersey, man. You know, that's the whole environment. They're escaping something that sucks bad.
Yeah.
You know, and so it takes them a while to assimilate to the greatest culture the world has ever known. Hello. Welcome to California.
Hey.
There's
welcome
one time
to California,
these like five Persian guys came into the store late at night. I was sitting in the back row there, and Renazisi's working the cover booth. He was smoking a cigarette. In the back row, it was like 1:30 in the morning. The Jim Painter, the door guy, was on stage, and these guys come in smoking a cigarette, and we're like, "Hey guys, you can't." Or Steve said, "Guys, it's a $20 cover," and they're like, "Oh, okay." And they sat there for a minute. He goes, "Guys, it's a $20 cover, and you can't smoke in here. You gotta go out." And they kind of gave this look of like, "All right." And they walked towards the steps, waited there for like 2 minutes, And I just go, get the fuck out, you filthy Persians.
Oh.
And they just start rushing at me. Steve is holding back their kicks. They were trying to spit at me and kick. I'm trying to be cool and just sit there, and their kicks were just missing me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was so mad at them. I was like, wow. Get the fuck. You're so rich. You've done nothing. You're all 19. Get the fuck out of here.
So where are they getting their money from?
Dad.
What does Dad do?
Worked hard because he overcame that shit that you were talking about.
Ah.
All they did was inherit them.
There's a lot. There's a big Hardy. Problem with really rich kids. You know, a lot of parents of rich kids are not taking care of those kids that well. They're,
don't
let
your children wear black on
black.
They're
working a lot, too. Don't let them wear black on black.
Yeah, it's like, you're a douche. Listen, stop.
Look at your sweater.
Oh, yeah. No, this
How
is cool.
How dare you? You have the gay flag in your sweater.
Yeah. Are you sitting on some picture pages?
How could you possibly tell them what
they're the worst.
What colors to wear, though? What?
It's awful.
They can't wear black on black?
No, with three buttons undone.
What if they're really nice people and they wear black on black?
They would never act like that. They were never.
My day.
It's you waited for your wife to yell at you in the back on,
Ari, keep it down.
You shut up. My dad would never tolerate
the
this.
The neighbors can hear. You're going off. You're offensive. Ari.
Oh, my God, dude. You're so hilarious.
It comes out of me. I just visited my parents. Maybe that's why.
Maybe if you were a Persian, you could get away with saying that.
No, why? That's
right
just
now, you're
going
to have some Persians mad at you. They're going to come to your show and
be less Persian-y. That's all I ask. It's only the ones. You know what I'm talking about.
I do, again, in your defense, I'm a Guinea. I'm mostly Italian, and I don't like most Italians.
There's a lot the ones of them like, life. Oh, you're Italian? Oh, you're Persian? No, don't, you're fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of them I like, but there's just this giant clump. I wouldn't even say it's most I don't like. I would say it's 30% I don't like.
Yeah, it's like the militant Palestinians.
It's just 30% douchebags.
Yeah, they ruin it for everyone. That's all you think
exactly.
of.
Exactly. And all these goddamn mob movies have just pumped those fuckheads up, those really dumb fuckheads.
Titles them. Do you know who I am? I'll come back there.
Yeah, I know people.
Kill yourself.
I know people.
That's horrible.
We stop it.
Give me another line. Let's do this.
Yeah, I wonder how much I mean, they say that the big mob in this country is the Soviet mob, and that they know how to keep their mouth shut. And they're
calls attention to their criminal behavior.
Yeah, they don't walk around with fucking giant diamond rings on, and they're like very sophisticated in their forms of organized crime.
Yeah,
but they're the most dangerous because they're like the computer dudes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And they're ruthless, like, you know, that's a cold world, man. You know, those people went through a lot of shit that we can't even, you know, begin to fathom.
Those are those guys that are like, yeah, cut my pinky off. I won't even blink.
Yeah. Ouch. When we were in Japan, I didn't see any pinkies cut off, did you?
No, and everyone wore black.
A lot of wearing black.
Yeah.
Would you yell at the Japanese? No black on
black?
Wait,
black on black? They're wearing black pants and a black
Everybody
shirt.
Everybody fucking wore black.
No, I
swear to God.
Black pants on a black
That's
shirt.
That's what I wear when I'm in the UFC. Yeah. What is wrong with that?
First of all, if you wore it out, it's a little douchey.
Really?
Black
if I wore
on
it
black?
Out, you know, my friend Bud, that's all he wears.
Black on black?
His whole fucking wardrobe is black
like
clothes.
A black button down.
He has black jeans, bro. Black
it's okay
t-shirts.
For a t-shirt, a black t-shirt,
no,
black jeans.
I'm telling
That's
you,
okay.
Black sneakers. This motherfucker has black everything. He has a black car. His whole thing is that he only wears black.
Okay, I want you to tell Bud something. If he does that, because I know what he's going for, this is all right. If he splashes a little bit of color in there, it'll really pop. Maybe some colorful shoes or some socks.
Ari, you would never get your car murdered.
Get my car murdered?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like all blacked out? Like
that's murdered is the matte black.
Matt.
You know,
oh,
that,
yeah.
That cool color. I
Russell
like
has that.
Man.
Matt. He has matte gray.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's badass.
I like it.
I would like that. Maybe I should do my car, my GT3.
Yeah.
Get it matte
Fucking
black.
Murdered,
Fuck that. Paint
bitch.
Your house that way.
Whoa. Like a,
Matt,
like Marilyn Manson's house.
Damn, are you rolling dirty over there?
What are you talking about?
What's that mean?
Oh, that's what they would say about your house?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, yeah, we're rolling dirty over there. What do you think? You think we're not rolling dirty?
It's weird though, like not shiny is like in now.
Yeah.
Like people got tired of shiny.
Shiny's gross. That's why I don't wash my car.
Really?
No.
Oh, I like shiny. I like shiny. You know what? There's certain cars that look like spaceships to me when they're shiny.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I saw a Ferrari yesterday. It was one of these new 458 Italias. They look like it's like something from Battlestar Galactica. It's got these crazy lights down the side. It's like $300,000.
That's about a right amount to spend on a car.
It's a house.
It's transportation.
But it's not, dude. It's not. It is not. It's a goddamn ride everywhere you go. It's a wild, screaming ride that makes the most marvelous noise. Those Italians, just they have this fucking giant engine. It's mid-engine.
That's the good part of Italians.
And it's like, yeah, but I'm sure it breaks down like crazy. My people are not to be trusted with like meticulous details of things. They're not good at that. They're good at the passion. They're good at the crazy thing and impulsive stuff. But it has this noise. This guy drove by me. It's like, wah, wah. It's like this wild,
so much attention,
animal noise, man. It's just such a beautiful, like, passionate noise. But $300,000, and it looks like a spaceship. You know, like the cars they're coming out with today, they're slowly starting to look like what we thought cars would look like in the future. You know, for a while they'd be like, you know, like Ford Festiva. What the fuck is this? This is not space. This is not interesting. This is just some shitty looking box that you've created. You know, the older cars and older Toyotas and Chevys.
Yeah, they're bad. Those Mustangs for a while.
A lot of terrible shapes, man. But now they're finally figuring out a way to like make cars look
everything except like they should look except in the hybrids.
Yeah, they still look like shit.
Yeah.
Except those Fiskars. Have you seen the Fisker?
No. Let me see.
Fisker's I believe it's a Dutch company, and they've created the first, I think they're electric.
Fully?
I think one of them may be a hybrid, and one of them is fully electric. But yeah, they're really cool shapes. They're really wild looking. One, they have like a sports car version of it, and they have like a big, like badass sedan version. It looks like almost like a Maserati.
I'm just waiting until they get up to about 300 or 400 miles per hour, miles range. Once I get that.
Yeah, they're not quite there yet. But the real issue with them is, with these electric cars, is conflict minerals. The real issue is there's only a limited amount. Well, lithium ion is what you need to make those batteries. And there's not a lot of that shit around. And you got to get it from places where people work for slave labor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lithium most of it's ion. Coming from the Congo.
And isn't that what's in batteries? Like, in like regular batteries?
Lithium ion. Yeah. And laptops, everything. Conflict minerals are one of the biggest crises.
Conflict minerals. Conflict rechargeable? Minerals.
No, the idea is they come from Afghanistan. They come from Congo,
from conflict places.
Yeah, exactly.
Like blood diamonds.
Yeah, well, what people don't realize, you know, when you think about, like, you think about a laptop, there's a chain of things that has to happen and be put in place in order to create this laptop. And at the very end of the chain, this is going to be crazy. It's going to be hard for you to wrap your head around. But the very end of the chain, the very end is a kid in Africa sticking a metal rod into the ground and chipping away rocks. Like, literally, they're mining.
Really?
That's what they're doing, yeah. They're the little kids.
Lithium ion?
Mm-hmm. It's Coltran for cell phones.
Oh, that's so sad to think about. And we all just say we'll put up with that?
Well, no. Because we want our stuff? People are trying to do things about that. But first of all, to go into the Congo is very fucking dangerous. Nobody wants to do that. And, you want to go into Afghanistan? Jesus Christ, that's fucking dangerous, too. So it's like you only have so many different ways of dealing with the situation. And obviously, someone's in control over these minerals. I don't know what companies are. Right? I don't know what companies they are specifically, but I know those companies must be making an ungodly amount of money. I mean, they estimated that there's more than $1 trillion in unfound minerals in Afghanistan that they've discovered.
What?
Yeah, over a trillion in the mountains. So they've known about this.
So just going to, like, chip away at the mountains until
it's
sold?
I don't know.
Sold?
Once they start extracting it, then it becomes a big issue of, like, who's getting this money? Who's in control of this situation? Who's in control of this piece of land?
It's a huge...
Not really. No. I mean, it's a huge factor in the reason why we're over there in Afghanistan in the first place. Economically, that place is worth. If the future is in technology, and we're pretty sure it is,
I mean,
it's not like technology is going to stop. It's not like we're going to stop evolving it. And we're going to need minerals. We're going to need these conflict minerals.
Consider that.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
What do you think of that guy who shot up all those people in Afghanistan?
Well, that guy, I read a whole story about him. If you don't know who he is, he killed, I think it was 14 people.
And maybe 16, nine
of them were children.
Went into their homes.
Yeah, went into their homes and just gunned them
down. He was a U.S. soldier.
He was a soldier, and he was a soldier that quit his job in 2001 and signed up for the Army after September 11th.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And they've still kept him in. Didn't he not want to go on this last tour?
Exactly. Did it for all the right reasons. You know, did it because he wanted to protect his country and defend his country. and thought, you know, this is my time to step up and contribute to America. Yeah. And by all accounts, for the longest time, was like the greatest guy, was the life of the party. But he started after his first couple tours. He went to Iraq. He'd been shot in Iraq. And then he did not want to go to Afghanistan. He thought he was going to get a promotion, and he started thought he was going to get a better job back home, be able to come back home. And he was denied that. And
he was he knew that for his family or
and
whatever.
His family's back home. He has two kids, and his house apparently they had to put it up for sale. And the people that went to look at his house was in complete disarray. He was becoming an alcoholic. He was,
oh, really?
Yeah, but look, man, the fucking pressure of what these guys go through, to ask anyone to do it ever is crazy. To ask anyone to repeatedly do it over and over again when they don't want to do it anymore is nuts. I mean, this guy was, up until a certain point in time, a hero, and then he became a monster.
Yeah, the weird thing is people are sort of like seeing this, like, what are we doing to these guys?
Yeah.
And it almost seems as if we're like apologizing for his behavior. And it's like, no, what he did was completely wrong and horrible.
Yeah.
But let's also examine what puts a guy in this position.
Yeah.
Just for like a little bit.
You're totally right. It's so complex.
I don't murder kids. Like, you're fucking, whatever.
You're a piece of shit. You should die. And he became a piece of shit and he should die. But how did he become
that
piece of shit?
Yeah, we did that. We trained out
of
Talk Dog.
It's horrible that that guy became a piece of shit. And it's horrible that he was forced into this terrible, terrible, unspeakable, unthinkable situation where you're seeing people die. He watched a good friend get his leg blown off that day.
Really?
Yeah, he had watched the guy get his leg blown off that day and then went drunk and went on a rampage. That's when he lost his shit. The guy was in trouble, you know, and what they're saying is, how'd they not recognize this? I think because everybody's in trouble over there. They're all in war.
Suicides are up there, though. Like 80%?
It's crazy. More soldiers have died at one point in time. I don't know if it's still the case, but more soldiers had died from suicide than had died from combat.
Over there?
Yeah.
No way.
It was in one point in time it was. Suicides and it was at least in Afghanistan it was.
No, that can't be true.
Yeah, it sounds like it wouldn't be, right?
Yeah.
I better not have made that up. How do I phrase this? Suicides, soldiers.
Total suicides, conflict, Gulf War, Meta, Death Squad.
Off Garden.
Butthole. Casualties.
No way. That would shock me.
Yeah.
No way, right?
I'd like to find out. Suicide claims more U.S. military lives than Afghan war. Yep.
Suicide claims
more. They've killed more soldiers. American military personnel are continuing to take their own lives in unprecedented numbers as the war in Afghanistan and Iraq drag on. By as late November, at least 334 members of the armed forces had committed suicide in 2009, and more than 319 who were also killed in Afghanistan, or more than the 319 who were killed in Afghanistan, or the 150 who died in Iraq.
Wow. 2009.
Yep. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That was at one point in time.
Wait,
this is 2010.
More had died
by suicide than had died.
More had died by suicide.
More soldiers killed themselves than were killed
over
in combat.
The year.
Yes.
Okay, wow.
2 years in a row.
But that includes like American soldiers and stuff? Like still over here?
It's all American soldiers.
No, I'm saying still people over here? Or is that all over there that were committing suicide?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Is it soldiers stationed in Hawaii?
Soldiers, period.
It just says American military personnel.
Yeah, that might
that's
be
still a lot.
I think it's
but
most of them that are
load.
Over there, man. I think a lot of them have the same problems when they come back
here. Yeah, it's
got
to be most of them there, or have done time over there. Yeah,
yeah, the traumatic stress.
That's so many.
Yeah, yeah. I was hoping I didn't.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Wow.
Listen
to this. Before 2001, the Army rarely suffered 10 suicides per 100,000 soldiers. Now the Army suicide rate is 20 per 100,000. It's higher than the registered among males 19 to 29, gender age bracket, the highest rate among the general population. Wow. So look, man, it's obviously it's fucking terrible over there. And why? Why is it terrible over there?
Oh, there you go, man, talking about shit you don't know. While this fucking country is the baddest country in the world.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I'm asking. Like,
I know what I read.
Like, so what's the problem?
What I read is someone is doing something really bad. Why?
Did you watch the firefight?
Did you see the video of the first person shooter helmet cam firefight?
No.
Pull that up. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, helmet cam firefight. They have a video of a dude in Afghanistan. Oh, and by the way, I got a message from a guy on Twitter saying that that him and his boys who are over there in the military in Afghanistan listen to the show all the time. So I want to say, if you're over there, man, stay safe and get the out of there. Don't kill yourself. Get the fuck out of there as quickly as you can. And, you know, Godspeed. And if you do get home and you get some shit fucking with you, apparently they've been doing a lot of studies on post-traumatic stress disorder and MDMA. So look into that. Look into, if you have post-traumatic stress disorder, there's a lot of studies now that are suggesting that you can get over it much more effectively with MDMA.
Really?
Which is ecstasy. I mean, ecstasy is the street name for it. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are taking ecstasy, and they're administering it to soldiers coming back from therapy. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, it gives you such a loving feeling that you can abandon all these terrible feelings.
Well, definitely, if you're having those feelings, like, go seek a therapist, like, because your mind is sort of messed up a little, so you're not thinking straight. So those thoughts you get of, like, let me just do this.
Yeah. And you got to be real careful about traumatic brain injuries. You know, this is another thing that happened to this guy. He had a traumatic brain injury, a truck accident. The truck flipped, and he had a significant enough injury that they called it a traumatic brain injury. I don't know, you know, the extent of it.
Yeah.
But I do know from dealing with fighters.
And he committed suicide?
No, this is the guy that killed everybody.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It fucks with your judgment. Unquestionably, it fucks with your judgment. And your ability can be in as little as, you know, a couple, like, hard concussions. It's just in your life, a couple can really deteriorate your ability to think.
It's a high school football player committed suicide, and they think that concussions can lead you to, like,
unquestionably,
real big brain failures if you don't really relax after them.
Well, especially these guys who have concussions and then jump right back in the game and get multiple concussions in the same day. That happens.
They said after a concussion, you shouldn't even listen to loud music or anything.
Yeah.
You shouldn't watch crazy TV. You just sit there and read a book, do nothing.
Yeah, you have to heal up your fucking brain, man. And there's not a whole lot of different things that they can do to help you other than time and nootropics, too. It's one of the things they do. They give them a lot of different nutrients. Like Bill Romanowski has a whole line based on that. It's called Neuro One. And this is one of the first nootropics I ever got into. No Name told us about it. Remember when we were up in San Francisco and Allison on Sarah No Name on the Alice Morning Show?
Yeah,
great radio show that doesn't exist anymore. They were awesome together. They split up. Last time we did No Names when I made him drink his piss.
Yeah. It was just No Name. Oh yeah,
yeah. but my point was that he was working out with this Romanowski guy. Romanowski has suffered a ton of concussions. He's had many, multiple concussions, and he started looking into different nutrients that can aid his his recovery. Brain, his recovery. And he created his own line called Neuro One.
Oh, that's cool.
I used to take it all the time before I played video games. I used to take I used to take it all the time. That's one of the things that Mayhem said about Alpha Brain. That's what Mayhem Miller said. What, that's why I knew Alpha Brain's legit, dude. He goes, I took it, and he goes, I was on fire when I was playing video games. I was fucking people up. You know, but I take it before I play pool. I would take Romanowski shit before I play pool.
Stuff? Yeah,
Romanowski stuff tastes good, too. It's
And when he got caught taking pictures with BB Jones?
With who?
BB Jones.
Who's BB Jones?
Porn star.
Really?
That was Gronkowski. Sorry.
Gronkowski?
Yeah. My fault.
Bill Romanowski. What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. Bill Romanowski is a different guy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a famous football player.
Oh, I thought you said you got caught.
No, Gronkowski is a football player, too. Right. I just got mixed up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Gronkowski, Romanowski. I hear you don't like white people.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you get it. They're the worst of the whites.
Tell your friend Ted not to do that anymore. Just tell him not to.
Tell him not to do...
Black on black on black.
Bud, I mean, Bud, Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Bud never wears anything but black, and he won't listen to you. He's a dangerous man. You don't understand. He's the man in black. You don't get
Johnny Cash did it okay.
Dude, he has a black American Express card. I shit you
really?
Not.
Because he loves it that much?
Drives a black Cadillac with blacked out windows.
Why is he gone?
He's not a douchebag either. He's a nice guy, believe it or not.
Why does he have to do that?
He knows what's people he doing? That are in black ops.
So what? Might change your life over it.
I don't know. It's That's just crazy. His thing, man. I don't know. Yeah, it's odd. He's an odd dude. He just decided at one point in time to wear all black.
And then he never switched.
But some people don't like looking silly, man. They don't like looking silly.
It's just come too easy.
Yeah, what is it? No, there's a specific type of black and black.
It's just come too easy. I can't do it all black all the time.
It shows gross. Come too easy?
Come all over yourself?
What are you just coming all over yourself?
No, but you come a little and you... it'll definitely get on your pants or shirt.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. I see what you're saying. I wear a lot of white. Why? Crystal, well, like, I'm just trying to like hide cum, essentially.
Have you ever? Yeah, you've done it. You have a bit about it.
What, cum on myself?
No, no, like where you look down and you're like, dude, this shirt's got so much cum on it.
I see a bit about how I would just wear that shirt outside the house.
Yeah.
There was these two door guys.
It happens a lot.
Yeah, if anybody would say, what's on your shirt? What the fuck do you think it is, bitch? It's white and it's crusty and it's right near my dick. What's up?
It happens more than you, like more than, like I think most people. I mean, do you feel like it happens more with you? Like I feel like it happens.
How often are you jerking off on your shirt?
No, I mean like I'm out and I see it more than
oh, like you had sex and like there's a shirt nearby. Do you have sex with your clothes on?
No, but I definitely
you take your shirt.
I definitely
off,
like if it's that night. I'm just like, I gotta wipe this off, and I grab a shirt and then forget, and then like 2 weeks later, I pick this t-shirt. Yeah,
you pick up t-shirts off the floor and wear them.
No, they float in the air.
Why would you pick t-shirts off the floor and wear them?
That's like dirty. No, see, I think shirts.
Worn them.
I think shirts have an hour life, kind of. I think somebody else talked about this to me once, and I totally agree with
them. When do you wear shirts for an hour?
Brian Jarvis. Brian Jarvis.
Oh.
So, like, if I have a shirt, like, I wear the shirt right now, if I take it off, like, in an hour or so and put it on the floor or whatever, I think I could still wear it again. I've only worn it for 2 hours.
I wore the same shirt Friday and Saturday night.
T-shirt?
Yes. But not really. It was a T-shirt over a flannel or over a thermal, rather. The reason I did it was because Saturday night was Fitzsimmons' Irish show, and I'm like, I got to wear green.
Yeah.
But the T-shirt you changed.
No, the T-shirt I kept on. Oh. I wore the thermal underneath. So the T-shirt was on my body. Yeah, it just
that's
touched
okay,
the thermal.
That's okay.
I just did it because
bottom layer, though.
I only had one, and plus it's a dope shirt.
Which
I
one?
It's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a Gracie Academy. Academia de Gracie. Have you seen it? Like in Portuguese. And
with that green sign on it, the Brazil?
Yeah. It's like real faded. It's this Roots of Fight line. They have like a whole line of like, you've seen Eddie with that the Bruce Lee Kung Fu shirt?
I think so.
Yeah, I always loved it because it was like the name of Bruce Lee's first kung fu school that he had when he came to America.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
and
cool.
It's really badass. And so I went to their website. And they had a bunch of fucking cool shit, and so I bought this this old school Gracie Academy one, and then I got this one on right now. Oh, the one that I'm wearing right now is this was Hickson versus Kimura. Or excuse me, not Hickson, Helio. Hickson's dad. Hickson's the main guy, the originator, excuse me. Helio versus Kimura from 1951.
That's cool.
I own zero Gracie clothes.
Zero?
Zero.
Yeah, you had some tap out shit you used to rock every now and then.
I used to. And then when I saw a homeless guy wearing a tap out shirt, I was like, this might be too mainstream now.
I saw a homeless guy in an Ed Hardy shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Some homeless guy today cheered me on. I went through a red light.
Did they think you were the Great Space Coaster?
No, I thought I was going to go through it. Like, I'm taking him out to another dimension. I was going to go through it. It's like yellow. I'm like, nah, fine. I'll just run this one.
Were you wearing that sweater?
I was wearing the sweater. Yeah. But he starts doing the fist pump. And as I go through, he goes, yeah! He gets hit the fingers. And I was like, yeah, man.
Did they think you were the Nyan Cat? Where's your toast?
It makes you think that the homeless guys probably could have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
In any other era, maybe they might not have been homeless. You know, maybe if they grew up in the '60s, they would have skated through and actually.
They
been
must
okay
have some parts of
job
them that are okay. Can't be 100% homeless.
There's a lot of people becoming homeless now, though. Man, this is a tricky time. There's more homeless people now, I bet.
Yeah. What? There's actually people that I know that are homeless, like comics, and it kind of creeps me out. I don't want to say.
Are they couch surfing?
Yeah.
That's not really homeless.
That's homeless,
it is a
dude.
Little, dude.
That's not having a house.
Just a little.
It is a little, and it sucks when you have one of those guys that lives in your house and you're never going to get them out.
Yeah.
It makes me sad, especially since a couple of them are girls, and it's like, oh, you poor girls.
But
it's come to my lair.
It's
with me.
Oh, Brian. You're getting dark on it.
Did you put that out there on purpose, hoping to attract
females?
Yeah, no, because that's scary.
Yes, you're right.
No,
you called them up.
No, that's scary because those couch surfers, they must have stinky ass pussies, don't you think? Because they probably don't want to use the shower as much because they don't want to like get in people's hair. And you know what I mean? They wake up early and probably go out for the day. You
the
know?
Girls you're talking about?
Yeah. Or people that couch surf. I've never had a couch surfer. I would just imagine that they would want to leave and get out of your hair and not really bug you.
Okay, so someone who's only crashing couch, they don't have a bedroom in your house.
You know, like
I've only had people stay at my. Well, I kind of had my friend Johnny stayed on my couch for a little bit back in New York, but most of the people that have stayed with me, they stayed in that extra room.
I stayed for a week.
Right.
Yeah, Duncan and Tate lived here.
Yeah,
Tate lived here for months. But it's great. It's great to, you know, if you have a friend who's staying with you and it's only for a short period of time. Location, yeah. It's cool. You know, like, I loved having both those guys here. It was fun. It was cool, you know? Just have a buddy. You come home, your buddy's watching TV at your house.
Well, you have a good house for it.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? It's nice and segmented.
Kurt Metzger stays with me when he comes to town.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's nice. Perfect. You're like, excited about it. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
It'd be cool to live with Bert and Tom Segura.
Except they have families, you fuck.
No, I mean, like,
they'd be the mommy and dad. Like,
no, I want to be your baby.
That'd be so fun.
They'd be the mom and dad, and you'd stay outside.
Even just live with them.
Just live with them. Yeah, like, they were roommates.
If you could break their marriages up, dude, we could make it happen.
Let's get it going.
All you have to do is break them up, man. They're happily married and shit, but whatever. They don't even know what's best for them.
I did a podcast with Christina Brzezinski, and I thought I deleted it by accident before I marked it. Oh, no. I was so upset.
She's funny as fuck, man.
Yeah.
That's Tom Segura's wife for the...
Did you guys kiss?
For the uniform? No, we did not kiss.
Did you ask her to smell it?
I did ask her to smell it.
Smell my cock real quick?
No, my finger.
I like that bit you do. Do you still do that bit about the doctor? About getting your penis checked out?
That's the one that never made it.
It never made it?
Yeah. That's why I need to record an album. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Can I tell it?
Yeah, go for it.
Ari had this bit where he would... Was she an attractive woman doctor?
She was an Asian doctor.
Attractive woman doctor was looking at his dick because he had like some sort of lesion on it. Something.
It was an ingrown hair.
Yeah. Something going on. And he just thought for a second about grabbing the back of her head while she was down on her knees looking at his dick.
Yeah.
And then he goes like, she would be like, oh, finally a real man. Like,
a real man took a chance. That's right. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to because she's going to be mad. But like, what if she be into it?
Yes.
I'm passing up the opportunity.
That's the problem. That's what kept Clinton alive during those fucking years in the White House. Yeah. Clinton was just whipping it out.
Yeah.
How many of the presidents you think were like that? You know, there's a
book. Oh, so many.
Seven. There's a book coming out that says Nixon's gay. Not only is it gay.
Really?
They named the guy he was gay with. He had a long-term relationship with this one man. And that he took it this guy with him everywhere. There's a really cute Latino guy. He took the guy with him everywhere.
That's possible.
I totally see that. I see Joe Pesci playing him.
I barely remember when Liberace sort of like was like, he's got AIDS. Or no, not Liberace. That other guy, Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
And people are like, what? That's how I remember it. Was he super gay beforehand?
He's just real handsome. He was a real handsome movie star from like the, you know, the early days. And I think people just never believed.
No. So there must be guys like that, like in office too.
Of course.
So you just don't want to think about it because of the times.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah.
They're pretty sure Nixon. This guy's pretty sure. He's going on a limb on this Nixon thing. But
George Washington.
He's got a lot of photos of George Washington.
I would believe that.
Spread it.
Well, Lincoln shared a bed with a man. But apparently, it was common back then.
Really?
The rusty trombone.
Well, it's common now. It's called homosexuality.
Well, it's also rampant in West Hollywood. They were cold as fuck. You know, I mean, Lincoln was living in a fucking house made out of sticks. You know,
right.
Built his own fucking house.
There's not much weatherproofing.
Yeah.
If you had to sleep with one president, who would it be?
Clinton. I bet he knows how to sling dick.
That's good.
Who would you Plus, do? He might be willing to bring some girls into the equation. You know, listen, man, you can fuck me, but can we get some girls, too? Shit.
I was always attracted growing up to Andrew Jackson just because of his hair.
Andrew Jackson?
On the $20 bill. It was kind of cool.
Well, Washington had white teeth.
Yeah.
Like these crazy fake
wooden teeth.
What do they call it when black people have them? Caps?
No, he had dentures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were, you know, like one of the first early dentures. He had, you know, they didn't take care of their mouths back then.
No.
People's mouths, their teeth would rot out of their fucking head.
They didn't know anything then.
No, they didn't know shit.
If you had appendicitis, you would just die of that.
Dead.
And no one knows what it is. It comes on within a week, you're dead.
Yeah. You're not, they you know.
They probably thought it was witchcraft.
All these people allergic to peanuts and all these people with, you know.
They just die off.
Yeah. Allergies to milk. Yeah.
See, our technology has overcome nature's way of getting rid of those people.
Well, I mean, look, the meek shall inherit the earth. I mean, that as a quote is, it sounds silly. It sounds biblical. It sounds like, oh, yeah, sure they will. But physically meek, but mentally strong. Physically weak, but able to manifest all sorts of incredible things out of technology.
Yeah,
you know, that's really what's going on. And in manifesting all these incredible things out of technology, the body has less and less requirements physically. So they become meek. They become meek, and their computers and technology become strong, and they inherit the fucking earth. Yeah. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what's happening, and that's what's going to happen. And along the way, they're going to figure out cures to every fucking disease. As long as people are alive.
Or
the
strong people will just start bashing the fuck out of the smart people.
That's possible too. Just live that's badly. Possible too.
But then eventually they would breed smart people.
We're in a middle state right now because I wouldn't say it's the smartest people controlling the world right now. It's just the cunts.
Smartest people that have ever been.
Smartest cunts.
Oh yeah.
But they're cunts. You know, yeah. The really smart people like Bill Gates and, you know, they're not really controlling the world. I mean, they have a massive business and everything like that, but they're not directing, you know, overseas campaigns to get these minerals and fuck up.
No, you know what he's controlling, Bill Gates? Curing malaria.
Yeah.
Fucking great things.
Great things.
He's just donating billions of dollars.
Isn't it amazing how, like, Steve Jobs always got the reputation as being like the cool guy who's like green and great for the world. Meanwhile, Bill Gates is the guy that
out
was like
there trying.
Donating money for schools and donating. Like he was done crazy humanitarian shit.
Malaria Research Institute, whatever it's called, they're like, we're done without him. As soon as he stops giving, we're out.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you seen his house?
Oh, no. The
his
all
house
green
in Seattle?
Thing? What's it like?
Dude. Oh, my God.
What's it like?
There's a design for it online. It's fucking incredible. It's built, first of all, he has a submarine.
What?
That's what I said.
What?
He's got a door underneath his fucking house where he can, like, open up and bring the fucking submarine in.
Up?
You sure he's just not crazy?
Like, it opens. He can bring it in and pull
like in those
submarine
old
up.
Sea Lab shows or whatever when they came in?
I hope I didn't make this up.
What if he's just crazy? Yeah, I got a door.
I hope I didn't submarine. Make this up. Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
State
so
of the art
right,
building.
It's like a garage for a submarine.
Yeah, it's on like a sound. It's on a sound. It's on like the ocean or the lake or something like that. And it's this amazing fucking house. The top of the line technology. In every room you walk in, you wear a pendant. And the pendant gives your particular ID out to all these different sensors. So as you enter a room, your particular lighting comes on.
Bill Gates has
it goes to your temperature. Your music starts playing.
So wow,
that's
pretty cool.
Hello, that's what I'm saying.
So you leave one room,
Brian,
I'll come in.
We're talking about
change.
Bill Gates' house.
Oh.
You're such a fucking space case.
I was thinking about which president
Bill
I wanted
Gates.
To fuck.
Yeah, Bill Gates is like that. We were talking about Bill Gates.
Yes, I know, but I was still thinking about which president I wanted to fuck.
Dude, that happens on pod sometimes if I'm talking to somebody and they'll be yapping and my mind will just go elsewhere. I'll be like, hey, can you back up 30 seconds? I didn't hear any of it.
I was thinking like JFK, but I don't know if it was just like the Instagram color look of all the film that you see JFK in. It's kind of cool. But I think I would say Lincoln just for that, because that's kind of cool to sleep with Lincoln.
JFK, JFK would probably be the most likely to fuck you. He was living in crazy times.
You were allowed to fuck any of them. Yeah. Like they
JFK apparently was like the biggest freak of all time.
I already had a compound.
You would
that.
Fuck
What's
them.
Stuff?
Physically fuck them?
Yeah, you have to fuck them.
No. They get to fuck you, I thought. Oh, you have to fuck them?
No, you fuck them.
Then Grover Cleveland, one of those fat guys.
I'm going to fuck
Nixon.
Fat dudes.
Nixon?
I'm going to fuck Nixon.
Why? Try to get the secrets out of
him? Just to fuck him.
Now, which one would you want to make love with?
I like it.
Lincoln, because he freed the slaves, and he probably had already had experience with men.
Right. Ari, what about you?
I mean, like... We're trying to last as long as we can, right?
You're just whichever one you want to fuck, and everyone will
last
know about
as long
it.
As you can.
We're trying to enjoy this moment.
Are we going condom or no condom?
No condom.
No condom. This is love, bro. Yeah, this is love. Plus, there were barely any diseases back then. Yeah. there were lighter diseases, but you had to scrape yourself free if you had something.
I know.
What did you do?
I don't know. You had to like reach up there with
they
like
died.
Utensils. Yeah.
You know, like Al Capone? Didn't he die of
Chlamydia?
Syphilis?
Syphilis. Yeah. 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 That's
yeah.
Right.
Guys.
That's right.
Yeah. Syphilis would kill people. Have you ever seen like pictures of people who have like really like long term like or advanced syphilis? It's horrible. It's disgusting. Yeah, it's an evil disease. It's crazy that we give each other diseases by fucking.
It really is. It's like it just attacks that area.
And you can't, that's like a lot of them, that's the only way to get it. You don't get herpes by shaking hands.
No.
You know? But you can get a flu by shaking hands.
Shook a dick's hand, you probably could.
You shook a dick's hand?
Yeah, no. If you actually touched a herpes dick or herpetic penis, you'd be fine.
No, if you had a cut on your finger.
No, there's no hand herpes.
Yeah, you're right. There's no hand herpes.
You sure? You get it on your lips?
No, you wouldn't get
lips
it on your hand.
Lips and dick.
Lips and dick. It's weird. It has to be like an open
Why would that
area.
Be?
I don't know, because those areas
yeah,
are...
Yeah, but in genital herpes, that's all over the place sometimes, right?
No, just in your genitals.
Really?
Just genital
no,
area.
No, you can get it like in your legs, too. And there's actually
in
a
your
type...
Legs?
You can get it in your
legs.
Eyeball.
Yeah, there's a type
yeah,
of
and
it.
You can get it in forehead, too.
There's like
you're
shingles,
right.
too, which is like another like advanced
type of
form of herpes. Yeah, it's different kind of herpes.
You're a jerk.
The worst I ever got was warts.
Thinking of shingles on your back.
Burn off.
Yeah, they cook those, but then you have that juice inside you forever.
You would fuck Obama, wouldn't you?
Out. Obama.
You fuck Obama?
Yeah, I just see Ari being wanting
to. Oh, I didn't
consider Obama.
Yeah, you'd go black.
Of course. I would let people off my back so much.
Did you see the video of the guy who claimed that he was Obama's lover and that they had shared oral sex?
Really?
Yeah, in a magazine in Chicago. Yeah. You ever heard this guy?
No.
Pull it up.
I could see
Obama's
that.
Gay lover. Obama. Just pull up Confessions, Obama's
Confessions
gay lover.
Confessions of a gay Obama lover?
Yeah, the guy was so ridiculous.
Damn, he's got a nice ass.
Does he? Confession of the Obama's gay lover? He was, they were interviewing him about it, and he, it's just so ridiculous. That's the guy.
My name is Larry Sinclair.
You got a first
regards
guy
to
see
the Obama incident.
This is a Judd Apatow movie.
Colorado Springs, Colorado to Chicago on November 2nd, 1999. Arriving in O'Hare early in the morning of November 3rd. I went to the Chicago area to attend the graduation of my godson, my best friend's son, from basic training from the Great Lakes Navy Training Facility. I made reservations at the Comfort Inn and Suites in Gurnee, Illinois, based solely on the location to the training center. Mm. On November 5th, 1999, I hired the services of five-star limousine. Ooh.
Winer and Diner.
A lot of details in this guy's story.
I had hired them both for November 5th and November 6th of 1999.
Tension building now, yeah.
On November 6th, 1999, I asked the limo driver, whose name I now reveal for the first time, Jagir Paramit Mutani.
No.
You just learned how to pronounce it.
Anyone who would like to socialize and show me Chicago. Mr. Mutani understood that I was looking for someone who knew Chicago and would enjoy socializing. Mr. Mutani said he knew someone who was a friend of his. On November 6, 1999, after picking me up at the hotel in Gurnee, and this is significant, Mr. Mutani used his cell phone to make a call. That call was made to then Illinois State Senator Barack Obama.
There we go.
To set up an introduction between myself and Senator Obama. Upon arriving at the bar and exiting the limo, Senator Obama.
Is he claiming to be a hooker?
You.
And I was introduced to.
Can you just hit the space bar?
No.
Doesn't work?
No.
Whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
What just happened?
The guy saying that he fucked Obama.
And so he gave all those details in order to be corroborative
he gave
evidence.
All those details because he's a moron.
But yeah, it was such a long part of
kiss
the story.
Kiss and tell, buddy.
Well, also, when you're doing a press conference, you have 20 minutes to kill. You think
so this guy called, he got his limo driver to call, hey, show me some good
get me some good dick. And Obama's like, man, you let me know when someone's looking for dick.
Oh, you drive a limo?
Like, listen, I'm a senator, and I'm thinking about being a president, but if you see some dick, I'll abandon all that shit. It just takes some
time. I don't believe it. Though.
No, of course not. The guy's nuts. The guy, he reeks of being full of
shit.
Just,
and he's not just like, we had a relationship in college. It's like,
he's a crazy
He's
person.
A random, like, call me up and I'll just fuck somebody.
Yeah.
That's. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
probably
just,
not.
The story is so preposterous.
What if it was real?
Do you think he took.
Abe Lincoln was a vampire.
Gay sounding lessons from the Republican convention. Like, he has to act like this to try to ruin Obama.
I don't believe that it's real. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was real.
Yeah.
Because look at what happened with Clinton. Who would have ever believed that there was a president and he was, you know, in his 50s and he was, you know, in the White House and he was having a 20-year-old girl blow him and he was shooting loads on her dress?
Yeah.
Who would have believed that?
Yeah, no way.
Poppers.
Sucking a cigar in and out of her.
Who would have believed that he would have thought she would have kept her mouth shut? I mean, come on.
She did. It was the other one dragged her in, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The ugly chick. I mean, the ugly friend.
Think about that position that he was in. The president of the United States is literally at the top of the food chain of human beings on the planet as far as the most prestigious position.
Yeah, in the world.
In the world, period. I mean, it just is. I don't care how much you love being from Ireland or England or wherever you're from.
Top 10.
That guy, the president of, even if you don't respect
the Pope,
it, yeah.
The president.
Pope can't
fight
the president. President of bombs. President can control the military. There's no comparison. Pope's a joke.
Pope's got religious nuts, though. He gets those chicks.
They could kill them with bombs.
Oh, yeah, if there was a war between them. Yeah.
It's a war between the president and the Pope. The president wins every time. Mm-hmm. He just sends all those pictures
they've
saved up for years of all those guys getting their dick sucked by little boys. They just release those all over the internet, and there's a massive campaign against the Vatican.
Yeah, they're not
that would, immediately,
place right now.
If there was ever a position where the United States went to war with the Vatican, we wouldn't use bombs. We'd use pictures of them blowing
release
kids.
Release more and more of those over the five-year period.
Yeah, it didn't even have to be real, man. I mean, how many fucking Photoshop artists are there that work for the military?
Luckily, there's plenty that they can find that are are real because they're constantly doing
it. I'm sure. All you have to do is set hidden cameras up or follow these fucks wherever they go, and you're going to find a certain percentage of them.
Really? All you have to do is give them all flip phones, and I'm sure some of them will just record themselves.
Well, you know, I've heard it argued on the online especially, and it's really a fucking potent argument, argument, that the entire Catholic religion at its highest levels exists for all these gay guys.
I can believe that. They covered it up at the highest level. They not just covered it up and sent the guy in their way. Covered it up and sent him to rape more kids.
But it's a culture of...
That's from the Vatican.
A lot of them accept it. A lot of the boys accept the position. So a lot of the boys like it. And so they think that it's good. They think that they're doing a good thing. There's literally things that Ratzinger saw. Ratzinger, who's the guy who's the Pope right now.
Yeah.
Pope Benedict.
Oh, the Nazi one.
Is really... He might hit Hitler Youth.
Yeah.
No big deal.
No big deal.
The Hitler Youth. Whatever. But there's letters by this fucking guy that this guy had under his review where these cardinals or bishops or whatever the fuck they were actually specifically targeting boys that had come from broken families.
Oh.
They were asking for boys from broken
families. Because they wanted people that couldn't fight back as much.
They didn't have anywhere to go. Yeah. They didn't have a family that they can call. They didn't have a father that would come over and beat your ass.
Those are the people choosing how you act in your religion. Lent, how long that lasts, and what you have to do this year, and whether or not condoms are legal. Those are the people choosing. You can't be Catholic anymore.
Yeah.
Dirty boy.
You can't.
Silly bitches.
You just can't.
Yeah.
Be another Christian.
It's so dumb. It's all dumb. But Catholicism is one of the worst. It's a cult of people who are dressed up like fucking genies. They're dressed up like these crazy wizard outfits with giant fish head hats, and they're waving golden wands. It's 2012, and these assholes are dressed up like they're like a fucking Harry Potter character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's preposterous. The idea that still exists, and then we still take that seriously. My God, that's incredible. I mean, it's really incredible. And, you know, people go, oh, you're so ignorant. You know, you hate religion. You hate... I hate everything that stinks like shit.
Yeah. And that's shoved down everybody's throat. You can't even breathe like something up that goes against them.
If there's a God...
We don't want to have to give people fucking birth control if we're Christian.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. If I'm Jewish, I don't have to let people get bacon with the money I give them.
What are you arguing about?
When all the fucking Christians don't let anyone do anything. They think they run everything. Well, you can't get birth control to girls because
there's a lot of
Catholics don't want to have to offer that to people.
Well, Catholics think that birth control is actually bad.
Like, so then don't take it.
The Pope tells you that you're not supposed to be using condoms. You're not supposed to be using birth control. You're supposed to be having sex for procreation only.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
Yeah, in the ass.
It's got nothing to do with what your employees need.
That's why boys have a boy pussy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian scientist, you can't deny all health care to your workers because you don't believe in health care.
Yeah, well, there's...
don't do it yourself.
There's certainly that. That's certainly a problem if you're an employer. But I think overall, the real problem is that it's an ideology. And it's an ideology that's based on just some shit that's written down. And the idea that there's a God is not a preposterous idea. If you look at the underlying code of the universe, it's really the whole Fibonacci sequence that reoccurs in nature over and over again, this constant drive towards complexity. It may be very well be coincidence. Or it may be that there's some sort of an impossible to decipher grand plan to it all. Maybe. And it might not be a deity, and as far as how we look at it, like being a person. We anthropomorphize. That's what we do when you have an animal and you put it in a human context. I mean, whatever, however you would describe that, putting a god, a deity, into a human context, I think that's ridiculous. I think the idea of it even being remotely like our consciousness is ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous that there's some sort of a higher order. It doesn't seem to me. But what's ridiculous is all these stupid old stories that everybody's basing their life on.
Yeah.
Circumcising kids and not eating pork and, you know.
Dude, what are you talking about?
No water during the day and
shit. There are zero proofs for this. You can do it if you want, but don't fucking tell anyone else who cares what anyone else does. They don't have to do your shit.
Yeah.
It's stupid. That's what it is. It's dumb.
But the problem is, there's a lot of people out there that really have a hard time thinking for themselves. And they are happier when someone comes along and they offer them a predetermined pattern they can follow. That's why religion works for a lot of people.
All right, so do it yourself. Don't force on anybody else.
Well,
it's stupid, but do it yourself if you want to do it.
And then I think the problem with that is that when someone's doing something, they want other people to do it too. It's like when dudes go vegan and they get douchey with you. How many times have you ever had that happen?
But they're happy that you're not vegan.
Sometimes.
They're happy that they can look down on you in some way.
I've had guys like, come on, man, you really need to try this. You really need to, come on, man. I'm like, you need to get the fuck away from me. Well, if I don't eat these animals, are they going to live forever? Is something going to happen? They're going to cure cancer, you stupid fuck? Like, what are you saying? You're not going to kill animals. What if plants would scream when you cut them down? Would you still eat them? What if they made like a... like as you cut the lettuce off the out of the ground, what if it?
Oh, that'd be freaky.
Would what you, if they moaned?
Yeah, would you be upset? What if they like, loved it?
yeah,
this is what I was chopping trees all night. But there's a something when someone becomes something. When they become a Republican, when they become a Windows user, when they switch on to Sprint, they want you to do it too.
Everybody.
There's a lot of people that are weak like that, man. They feel better when everybody else is doing the same shit they're doing. If they're dressing like Johnny Cash, they want everybody else to dress like Johnny Cash too.
You could tell them like. Like, literally, this is the only car that fits into my carport. Yeah. And they're like, dude, no, you make a mistake.
You need to buy American, bro. Why you buy? Or they're like, Ford over Chevy. You ever hear?
Yeah.
I'm a Ford guy, bro.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Why? Chevy. Or decided when you were superior. Six.
I'm a Ford guy, bro. I'll always be a Ford guy till I die, bro.
You know what's funny is Ford Escorts. Remember how gross that car used to be? And it was called an Escort. The Escort was the worst car. Ew, it's like the grossest car ever. And you call it an Escort?
That was before Escorts were Escorts. Back then, they were prostitutes.
No. They called after the
car? They were still Escorts back then.
Have you ever templed an Escort?
I don't know. Things like that.
Templed an Escort?
Tabernacle.
Tabernacle?
I can't remember.
Tempo.
Templed an Escort. Did you ever have an Escort? I almost
bought one. No, I never got it.
Escort. Then I had somebody walk around with me.
And
oh, a car, you mean?
Yeah. Ford is the only company that didn't take money from the government in these bailouts, and they're still doing great.
Who paid them back already? Somebody already just paid them fully back.
No, it's not true.
Nobody paid back?
They try to say that they paid them back fully, but apparently there's a lot of funky malarkey that I don't understand it. I'm not a big financial guy, but the way it's been explained to me is like, no.
Seems like they've clearly taken away... the idea that we have any say in it, so it's like, all right.
Let's actually find out so that we don't misinform people. Auto bailout, payback, right?
What, Ryan? Your mouth is agape.
It's done.
Like you're about to murmur out something.
I went to the hardware store.
Thinks we're talking about Bill Gates still.
You know who has a house like that?
Yeah, okay, here's the issue. But while we're still on the subject, because I did know that there was something wrong about this. In the Washington Examiner, they have an article, the truth behind Chrysler's fake auto bailout payback. And apparently there's a lot of fucking funny accounting of how they, American taxpayers... we've already spent more than $13 billion bailing out Chrysler. The Obama administration already forgave more than $4 billion of that debt when the company filed for bankruptcy. Taxpayers are never going to get that money back. But how is Chrysler going to pay off the rest of the $7.6 billion they own the Treasury Department? The answer is the Obama administration's bailout agreement with Fiat gave the Italian car company an incremental call option that allows it to buy up to 16% of Chrysler stock at a reduced rate, but in order to exercise that option, first it had to pay back at least $3.5 billion of the loan to the Treasury Department. So it's all like...
Fiat is renting them.
Exactly. It's not like Chrysler became ballers and paid all the money back and like, thanks, it worked. There's a lot of other shit going on behind the scenes. People are buying things and selling things. You should pee, Ari Shaffir. I would love it if America made all the best shit. You know, I mean, I would think it would be amazing if we could pull out of this and all of a sudden make fucking badass cars and shit. I would like to support that. If you buy a German car, you know that those people, they're not slave laborers. You know, but if you buy a car, like if they start selling cars that are made in China, like, you know, Foxconn starts making cars, that's a tricky situation to be in. I would way rather pay more if I could afford it, of course, obviously. Way rather pay more if I knew that the people who made my car got a good wage. Wouldn't you?
I've always bought Fords. I like Fords. I want to get a Ford Mustang next, I think. That or a Charger. I've always bought Fords. You know, except
Charger's not a Ford, boy.
Yeah, I know.
That's a Chrysler.
I know that.
Chrysler's full of shit. Didn't you hear what I just
said? Chrysler looks
nice. They look dope. That Charger's one of the best shapes out there. They nailed it. They made a modern version of the 1970s and 1960s muscle car. They did it. They fucking nailed it. They nailed it with the Camaro too. The new Camaro nailed it. I saw it. Crazy looking red one with black stripes.
I saw a yellow one the other day. Aubrey was driving one.
Yeah. They're great. They're great shape. I wouldn't buy a yellow car, though.
I wouldn't buy that car, yeah.
There's something about a yellow car that just, man, it's hard to prove you're not a douchebag.
Mine's orange, man. I've got nacho orange. At least all the Mexicans love me, but It's like a creepy nacho orange.
All the Mexicans love you. Is that what you
call it? Fiesta orange
is what Ari calls it.
Fiesta orange. Because
it feels like a fiesta.
Yeah, it's like getting a Dorito.
It's like a party.
Do you think that they just had like an extra gallon of that paint? They just
I think we gotta use it.
That's why I got it so cheap, because it was that color. But now I want to murder that car.
It's a muffin. That car's great, Ryan. You have a great car.
Yeah,
for an American car, also, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's about as nice as it gets, except for the new Cadillacs. The new Cadillacs are just about the best American cars that have ever been built.
Yeah,
there's some new Cadillac CTS-V and the CTS-V Coupe. You're in Blade Runner.
Yeah, Rami has 9 of those.
Has 9 of them?
Yeah, I'm joking. He said his wife had 2 Cadillacs when he's trying to relate to the U.S. auto workers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he really say that?
He goes, in fact, I own an American car. In fact, my wife drives a Cadillac. In fact, she drives 2 Cadillacs. And you see all his advisors going, oh, God damn it, Mitt.
You stupid fuck. What? Why couldn't you say 1, you dumb cunt?
He also said this, the same thing. He goes, I love auto racing. I've always loved auto racing. I've been a big fan. A lot of my friends are owners.
Don't say that.
Why? You're killing us.
Hey, do you want to go racing? Have you ever had a desire to race cars?
Get in cars
and go around a track?
Remember that? What's it called place? Did you go in that?
What a call place? Oh, Atlanta.
In Atlanta?
We went to, Ari was with me when we did, I went around the track. I did some sort of a hosting thing for a Mini Cooper versus Porsche challenge. There's a race that they had in a really closed circuit, so like the big engine of the Porsche didn't allow it to overtake the Mini Cooper, which is speed. It was all just about agility and real usable speed. It's pretty fucking impressive that a Mini Cooper was only like a couple of seconds behind a Porsche in this race around these cones.
I love those guys too. They're like, are you guys going to win? They're like, we'll see. And then they didn't.
They didn't think they were going to win. They're like, probably not. They didn't even.
But they just made a party for their owners.
Well, they didn't even get the sport version. Mini Cooper.
Oh, really?
They had a regular one.
Have you seen the wagon one? That's actually really cool.
They have a regular version.
They're great. Apparently, they had all the people from like the Mini Cooper clubs and all that shit come down because people like get fanatic about those cars. There's like clubs and shit. They're apparently most fun to drive.
Well, they had a barbecue.
Yeah, they made parking lots.
Yeah,
they invited any Mini Cooper owner to come down. You just get free barbecue.
I got a chance to drive it a little bit, but it was only around this small course. But they're like real agile little cars. They're like it's like a go kart. Mm-hmm. It's like it's so small and so light. You know, it's like there's something fun in that, man.
So what's this? I remember I just got so high. I was like, you were like, I got to work, so you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
All I did was just get obliterated in Atlanta.
We got obliterated
because I had no work to do.
It was hot as fuck that day. Remember how hot it was?
Yeah, it was sweltering.
Jesus Christ, Atlanta gets that crazy funky hot.
Wait, so when are you going racing?
I don't know. Soon. Okay. I have a friend who. I don't want to like have a competition or anything like that. Just go around a track.
Let's play chicken.
Fast.
Yeah, let's play chicken.
Oh,
if you want to, in Burbank they have indoor adult go kart track. And I'm thinking about
really
that. That'd be pretty fun.
Cool. Really big thing doing that. I guess they go really fast. The owner of the
how ice, fast do they go?
I don't know. The owner of the ice house does it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. You know, there's a laser tag place up here too.
They still have laser tag.
12-year-old kids. Look, we're playing.
We should do all those things though.
No.
We should do all those things.
Yeah, what about shoot guns? You ever shoot guns?
Paintball. Yeah. I have.
I love shooting guns. Israel.
We should do that. Let's go shoot guns.
I want to shoot fish.
Gun range?
Yeah.
In a barrel?
Fish.
No, like put fish up and then try to shoot fish so they explode.
In the air?
Like dead fish.
Why would you do that? It's a waste of fish.
Like toss things
better
up?
Better target. No, you pick a gross fish.
Filthy American. How dare you?
Fire guns into the air.
Guns in the air, just shoot them.
Is that
in the
what
air?
You mean? Like pull and just throw a fish up?
Yeah, no. Like put them like on like a target and then shoot them from far and try to blow up a fish.
Oh, you don't mean like throw them in the air and then try to shoot them out of the sky?
No.
I went skeet shooting with Sean Miller in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's great fun.
You pull and you just follow, and when you see it explode,
it's exciting.
You're like, ah.
Yeah, it's like I mean, even when you play pool and you make it, you know, you make the nine ball, like woo,
and everyone hangs out there. They have like a pro. Like area, you know, where everyone hangs out, just like in pool, people would hang out, or any place where people would just chill, a golf room.
Yeah, I have a buddy Justin.
Everyone's into it.
These they have like competitions where you go through like a maze, and like things come up, like a bad guy comes up and you blast him and you get like a score, and then you go like into a certain area. Well, this is bullets.
Yeah, that was the cop. Yeah. What was the cop movies?
Cop movies? Yeah. Oh yeah. You killed a civilian again.
Yeah.
Like what were those cop movies? Mel Gibson or Lethal Weapon?
No, the funny ones with Steve Guttenberg.
Turner Hooch?
With Steve Guttenberg.
Guttenberg.
There were five of them.
Police Academy?
Police Academies. Yeah, they had to go through those courses.
Yeah.
Steve Guttenberg.
And Tackleberry, who died.
There was this thing on Halloween that what you would pay money, and they had like 100 people dressed up as zombies, and you were on top of a building, and now they all just start coming towards you, and it's paintball, and you just shoot them.
Charge.
And then they just fall swarmed.
Where by tons. This?
It was in Santa Monica.
Wow, that's a great idea.
They wanted
us
to come down, like, and because we were going to have them on the podcast.
And then what do they do when they get a hold of you?
No, you just shoot them. They're slowly climbing up, you know, and you just.
And then they have to fall when they get shot?
I don't know. I didn't do it. So,
They're slowly coming in on you like a thriller.
You. Yeah, they're hoarding you.
This is like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That's dangerous, man. The
zombies.
They're eventually going to have a game like the world's most deadly game. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
The deadliest game, whatever it was.
Right.
I think there was they redid it with Ice-T.
Yeah.
They redid it with
Ice-T. Nolte or Gary Busey also was hunting him.
Was it?
Ice-T was the one being hunted.
Oh, yeah. That's when Ice-T had like crazy dreadlocks. Uh-huh. Remember? Yeah, but there was an old version of it. It's like the Deadliest Games, like really old. It was like a Russian military guy who was like crazy and depraved.
They want to hunt everything.
Brought these people to his island and would hunt them down. And the reason why I remembered it is because I've been watching this show called Naked City. Have you seen this show?
Not that one.
Oh, Hidden City. Sorry, not Naked City. Hidden City.
Yeah.
Hidden City is all this Marcus Shackey guy. He's a crime novelist, and he goes to all these different towns and finds out like the really fucked up stories in this town, like all the crazy murders and shit that haven't been solved.
Yeah.
And one of them was a dude who would pick up hookers, and he would take them in a plane in Alaska.
Yeah.
He would pick them up, put them in his handcuff them, put them in his plane, and then fly them to an island and let them loose, and then he would go and hunt them.
Really?
Yeah. He would bring a rifle, and he would let them loose and just go, you better run. You better run.
I'm going to shoot you if you don't run.
I'm coming after you, bitch. And then he would go after him. He'd hunt them. He'd track them down. He'd be like in the snow, so he'd be like tracking them.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, but it was like the thrill of actually tracking them. He'd fucking blow them away. And then he would keep their licenses and shit, and that's how they caught him.
What do you mean?
He went into his attic. His attic. He had driver's licenses of all these different women that he killed. Because they had searched his place once. They couldn't find anything, and they had to search his place again. And when they searched his place again, they found it in the attic.
I shouldn't keep mementos. Ooh,
yeah. They can't help themselves.
They say those people want to be caught, but I don't think that's what it is. I think they just like keeping them mementos.
Well, they look back at those mementos, and they get excited.
It's trophies.
Yeah.
I think it's like I'm looking to get caught though. Yeah. I think they're looking not to and keep these things. You get more complacent the more you do it.
I blame my mom. She always had like that book when you were a kid, and I had like a little lock of your hair and stuff like that. And I always was attracted to like little locks of hairs, you know, with the girls that I date.
What?
would you ever, if it was on the menu, would you try human meat?
No.
No.
You would never do it.
It's supposed to taste just like pork.
Really?
Yeah, and you can always eat pork. So why would I try human meat? I don't want to know what that tastes like. Apparently, though,
it must be
distinguishable because you can go to Liberia and you can get some. Apparently,
go crazy.
Not anymore. The war's done now.
The war's done, so they're not serving any more human meat.
Charles Taylor's in The Hague.
Charles Taylor is the guy who was the horrible war criminal.
He was the badassest one.
Crazy fucking name, Charles Taylor.
Yeah.
Sounds like the guy who like created peanuts.
They destroyed their own infrastructure. They needed like stuff to tie people up with. So they just use like telephone wire. They would cut it down and just use that. So like, oh, now we have no telephone lines.
Jesus Christ.
They had to test their rockets out. So they're like, let me show you how much I can blow up this dam. And then you show me how much that rocket can blow up this dam.
They blow up their
own. They just blow up dams.
They're so stupid.
Yeah.
The Liberia is so frightening. And the fact that it used to be a U.S. slave colony.
Really?
Yeah, that's how it started.
It's all better now.
Slaves came from Liberia. Wow. Or from America and went back to Africa. Port. Yeah.
Wow.
It's better now? In what way?
Charles Taylor's gone. They're trying to like redo everything.
It's still a mess, man. They had that vice guy to Liberia was pretty recent. They were over there. It's still crazy.
Really?
Yeah, there's parts of the world where how the fuck do you fix Africa? Look at all the different, like look at Uganda. That's a long, long, long project.
They want to give Jews Uganda.
Get them Jewish?
They want to give the Jews Uganda.
Instead of Israel?
Yeah.
So listen, figure this place out.
There's a lot of talk about that.
When was this?
60s? No, way before that. I guess the 40s and 30s.
Like so after before the war, Israel.
After the war, they were like, we need to give them some place to go. Clearly, we've shown enough times.
Explain to me how the whole Israel thing worked. Because at one point in time,
the
Palestinians lived there. But no, Jews lived there already. Like, how did that work?
There were a bunch of different migrations. Well, Jews lived there and Arabs lived there a long time ago. And then one of the Roman kings came and like dispersed the Jews.
Killed them.
Yeah. Well, no, just extinguish them. Like, go to Europe, go to Africa, Just go.
You kicked get them out of Israel.
Kick them all out.
Like, yeah. What year? What year was this?
This we're talking about, like, this is way after Jesus, I think, because Jews were around when Jesus was there.
Way after Jesus.
And after one temple was destroyed, then the Jews wouldn't go back until they rebuilt the second temple. Then they did. Then they came back. When that was destroyed, and they were kicked out, like, they slowly started coming back here or there. So, like, in 1910, there was a big migration. 1912, a big migration of European Jews to Israel.
What temple was it where the Romans got all the way up to the top and the Jews had Masada? Killed each other?
Masada. It wasn't a temple. It was a last enclave of defense. They were, like, resisting.
So what did they do? What was the story?
They went up there. It was one of those things that one of the Roman kings built for, like, this getaway, this sweet, sweet getaway. It's really awesome, actually. They have these hot baths, and they would, like, empty out, like, the part of the mountain underneath it so they could heat it up. And so then we'd go up, but the ceilings were curved down because they knew that if they were flat, the water drops would, like, hit and just, like, form and then hit you.
Uh-huh.
It was really unpleasant, so they made them all curved so the water would run down the curved ceilings and not drip onto you. Just really great design things. But anyway, as the Jews are being, like, pushed out, saying convert or leave or die, I guess some of them, the last defenses, like, pushed back to there. And they realized they could just, like, there's only one way up. So they could just shoot down arrows at people, at the Romans. They couldn't get up there. Until they started using Jewish slaves as human shields and then started marching up. But also there, they had enough food and water to last them for, like, so long. So they're like, we'll wait you out. We'll just wait you out for years. They just had them surrounded.
Whoa.
Like, they had that much. Yeah, they had that much supplies. And then eventually, when I think the human slaves started, then they were like, all right, well, we're not going to kill our own. So what do we got to do? And I think they all killed each other.
Whoa, we're not going to kill our own, so we'll kill our own.
Yeah, we'll just all commit suicide. We're dead anyway.
So how'd they commit suicide? What'd they use? They used poison. Swords, right?
Swords?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
A lot of it, wasn't it?
Maybe where would they get poison? It wouldn't be poison.
Where would they have that much poison?
Yeah, I don't know.
Have that much poison laying around? I heard that it was done in a very primal way.
It could be swords. It could have been swords. And I know, like, the last guy had to do it to himself, and they had to choose who was going to be that last guy.
Wow.
Oh, that's what it is. They didn't want to commit suicide because you don't go to heaven. So you would kill another person so you didn't have to kill yourself.
So the last guy.
Jesus, the last guy had to commit suicide.
Or he just didn't. Whoa. And he's like, look at all these Jew shields everywhere. Just
run at the Romans. Like, come on, bitch. Let them kill you.
Cops. Or go, oh, you guys came up this way? I came up back over there. These Jews are all dead.
That's probably what I would do.
It's crazy. Let's get out. They stole my clothes and then died.
Wear a Roman outfit. Right. Wow. What a fucking crazy time to be alive that must have been, huh?
You had to give up your religion or die?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't give up my religion.
Yeah. I'm like, what? I barely even go to church. What are you talking about?
It just shows you that people have always had that weird desire to have everyone else think exactly the way they thought. And it makes them feel more secure.
More Christians.
The Jews actually never proselytize.
We don't.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because your religion is just silly as anybody else's.
Based on the same things as the Christians.
So how come they figured out to, like, keep themselves? And
they said, you don't have to do this. There's no reason you should. If you want to, you can, but we're not going to try to push you. It's like, do whatever you want. The time of David, they outlawed it. Outlawed conversion.
Wow.
It was too popular.
Too popular. People everybody wanted to be a Jew. Become
Jew just because it was like they were the ruling party.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, so they outlawed it.
So they said no conversion during this time.
God, for how long?
I don't know.
Please, I'm fucked.
Yeah, I don't know. Now you have to do that. You have to ask a bunch
Gentile,
of times.
I'm just hanging out. I don't like these people.
You have to do that now.
Worst of the whites.
Yeah. I don't want to be that anymore. You pretty much have to do that. The rabbi will tell you, like, don't do this. You don't want to do it.
Really?
You can't eat Big Macs. You can't. Just trust me. You don't want to do this.
You can't eat Big Macs.
Yeah.
If you're a Jew, you can't eat Big Macs?
Religious Jew.
You know, you're supposed to eat hamburgers? Is that what it is?
It's not kosher meat. And it's cheese on there, too.
Oh, so just that and in general. But you could have kosher beef burgers. You could have a kosher beef burger.
With soy cheese.
Oh, the cheese. What is it? You can't combine milk and meat. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
It's pretty much stupidity, just like all the religions. But it's based on a passage that says you shall not mix the meat of the mother the milk of the mother with the meat of the calf.
Huh.
Yeah.
That wasn't about sex. Porn instead or anything else?
Some sects take that just to be that it's that actual mother and calf.
Yeah, but that's the case. Why can't you get the milk from the mother and then kill the mother and eat her? It's the milk of the mother and the meat of the mother. That's all right?
I don't really get it. It's just
but they just no meat and milk together.
No meat and milk. You have to wait. If you eat pizza, you have to wait 30 minutes before you eat meat.
What are the odds, though, if you have a fucking piece of meat that the milk's going to come from the same
cow? No, it's not. They said that passage means don't mix the two at all.
Fuck you.
Linen and cotton, you can't mix.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You can't, if you have a woolen linen, that's what it is. If you have a wool jacket, you can't have linen things tying in the buttons. Because that's evil, and you'll go to hell.
What about peanut butter?
You go to hell for that.
No, my favorite one. My favorite one that you told me to this day was that you were told that when you masturbate. Now, for a lot of people, don't really know. Ari grew up extremely religious to the point where he lived. You lived on.
Lived in Israel in Yeshiva for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean that's and you studied the Torah all day long.
9 p.m. to 10. 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I mean that is pretty much. That's some pretty intense shit. And they told you when you masturbated that you were impregnating a demon in the other dimension.
Let's just say you're on your back lying down. They didn't really do positions back then or shower. Anyway, but when you're doing it, some demon comes and she's around you, fucking you. As you're fucking your hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you make demon babies in the afterlife.
Some writer used this, the phage. There was some maybe Dean Koontz. Maybe Dean Koontz.
Sure. Used it in a movie?
Yeah, where in a book. There's some demon was writing them and had. Anyway, but then you get her pregnant and she has babies every time you do that.
Every time you're 100%.
But those babies never get to be born on Earth. They only live in this demon world and they're all deformed and gross.
Wow.
I forgot about this. Yeah. And then when you get to go to heaven, when you die, you have to meet those demons.
Oh my God.
And they go, "Why, Dad? Why couldn't we born on the regular planet?
Wow.
Why are we like this, Dad?"
So did you masturbate anyway, even knowing all this?
Uh-huh.
And what did you think? Was this going on while you were living in this really religious environment you were masturbating?
No, you never stopped masturbating. You never stopped. I mean, I slowed down. I thought it was evil for doing it.
What would you so you're doing this, you're there 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Did you think, that part's bullshit? You're studying this intense religious.
Well, I think there's two types of sins. Literally, this is how it is. There's two types of sins. There's sins you plan out and say, fuck it, I don't agree with that. And there's types like gossip where it just happens.
Right.
You're not thinking about it fuck, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Just talking bad about somebody. Masturbation is one that just overcomes you. But right. I guess it's one that you do plan out because you could just not do it.
Well, this time.
It's not like you accidentally touched it.
Women, I don't think, have the same. It's not. They don't have that backup. Women want to have sex. They get itchy. They want to be touched. They want affection. They get horny. But we have a backup of sperm where your dick is come on, let's go.
Yeah.
It's you got to get rid of this shit. Jesus Christ, we can't even think. You can just get
sour milk.
Sperm everywhere here. Come on. Yeah. Jesus. What did you, when you beat off, did you fuck, what about those babies? Did you believe that part?
That part was more like fables. It wasn't the written in the Torah. So it was this is what the extra curricular stuff, the ghosts and shit like that.
So when would they bring that up? How'd you?
They barely brought that up.
Did they bring it up in class ever?
Yeah, it would come up. We're in discussions with rabbis who studied all that stuff. The Zohar, which is like the mystical book. But you're not supposed to study that until you're married in 35.
What?
Is it
sexy? The mystical book.
Yeah. So you can't handle it until you're married and 35.
What's that all about?
It's got all the stuff about ghosts and weird shit.
Ghosts?
Yeah.
Ghosts and demons?
Yeah, and crossing.
Dude, Judaism sounds fun. Sounds fun literature.
You don't get to read it very much. I never read the translations of those. It's so hard. Maybe I should read it.
Can you get it online? Can you buy
Amazon.com? Probably can. It's probably all written down somewhere, actually. But a lot of it would be the exact language. You wouldn't get that from translation. Right. But you'll get close.
Yeah.
There was this one piece in the Talmud, which is a respected, you're supposed to study it part. And they said this rabbi went to his students who were living in a dormitory all together because there was a snake or a dragon that was attacking them every night and killing his students. So he had to sleep, and only this rabbi was the one who could defeat it. So he had to sleep under one of their beds so that he could kill this dragon. It was a dragon. And I asked my rabbi about that. I'm like, what the fuck is this all about?
It's my wife.
What's going on? There's no such thing as dragons. I'm all
under this bed to suck your cock, and that's how I killed the dragon.
Yeah, he said there was a rash. There was a rash of jerk-offs going on. And the only way he said they can't really write that out in the Talmud. So they had to metaphor it.
Really?
There was a rash of jerk-offs, and the only way I could stop it is the rabbi hiding under the bed. Saying, I caught you! You're masturbating!
Wow. So the dragon that was killing off the children was just them masturbating?
The desire to masturbate.
Oh, my God. It was killing off
their spiritual selves.
Holy shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's not written. That metaphor is not explained. It's just assumed.
Yeah.
And you have to ask someone who understands the text.
Yeah. Or Rashi would like write stuff about it if you can understand that.
That's so crazy. Well, how would that, in the future, people would just think it's just craziness.
This was an oral tradition, too. So it wasn't even written down. Someone just had to tell you that story.
Wow.
That's what they wrote down when they thought they were going to lose it all.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a great fucking story.
You think I'd be making that up, but I'm really not.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
We're so crazy. And people, you know, whenever we have these conversations about religion, mm-hmm. it's really interesting because I get so many angry tweets.
People get angry.
They get so mad.
You're being an idiot. There's literally zero proof for it. Yeah. There's zero proof ever. And there's nothing else in your life that you will entertain a conversation over when there is zero proof.
Nothing.
That's the only thing.
If someone tried to invent any of those religions today, you would laugh at them.
Yes.
You would say this is a cult.
But somehow we can't because everyone's involved in it.
Yeah,
but it's ridiculous what you're doing.
Completely ridiculous. And I say that it's the enemy of progress because that's not on the table anymore. Everything is on the table. As far as like what is the possibility for the future?
Cloning, are we allowed?
What is subatomic particles? What are in black holes? Everything is really on the table and up to discovery until it comes to religion. And with religion, that's not on the table.
Yeah.
If anything is off the table like that, like stem cell research or things along those lines.
Because of religion.
Yeah, because of religion, especially when you can get stem cells from skin. I mean, they're at a point now where you don't need to have embryos. Uh-huh. You don't need to encourage people to have abortions like they thought the worst case scenario would ever be, that people would be encouraged to kill their babies because stem cells from the aborted fetuses would be very valuable. That's not even necessary anymore. They've passed that,
but
the argument is still there
because of our belief in a God.
Yeah.
Something that was invented so long ago doesn't apply to you anymore. Even if it was invented for a reason, it doesn't apply to you anymore.
It's just the most ridiculous thing is that if this God did exist, that he wouldn't tell you while you're fucking up left and right and surely sending yourself to hell.
Just weird little signs.
Yeah, he would just
wait there
and go, listen, when you get up here, I know this life has been confusing and everybody's full of shit and they've been telling you these crazy stories, but if you don't listen to them, once you get up here, the infinite wisdom's going to fucking cook you.
Yeah, I got mad at God when I started thinking about this stuff. It was like, what the fuck? So you're telling me that everyone either goes to heaven or doesn't, or gets rewarded on the next plane or doesn't, based on you've never been explicit and just said, I want you to do this? You're just supposed to guess it?
Yeah.
My Protestant friends were like, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. And I'm like, but your parents were Christian. So you're better chance at accepting Jesus than mine. So just because randomly my parents were Jewish, I'm going to burn in hell for eternity?
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Like, God
wouldn't
intervene and say, listen, parents, you're teaching your children wrong. This is what I like.
Yeah.
I like them to
if you're a Native American,
son.
100 years after Jesus came, you never heard of him. But if you don't accept him, you're going to hell. You had no chance.
Yeah, you go to hell. Just go to hell. Burn it forever for your sins.
You know what they say? Well, some people believe that Jesus actually went to America, and so he told them. Like, one time and then left, and so that was enough for generations.
Your Protestant friends told you this?
Yeah.
It's
so stupid.
About Jesus in America was the Mormon.
The Mormons.
Yeah. They believe that he was the, that's where the American Indians came from. They were lost.
Jews. Lost Jews.
The lost Jews.
Yeah. This is it. This is me. I'm an Indian. Indian. This is what I'm looking at. That's an Indian. That's not ridiculous. I used to have a joke about it, but I never really formed it, but this is what it was. There's other parts of that same book that say what the Mormons did. I've told you this, right?
Yeah.
Where they said he went to the moon with more Hebrew people and started a race of people called the Lunarians.
No.
Where they still live to this day.
No.
Yes, or at least they were saying that until we went to the moon. And then we're like, what's up?
Where's the Lunarians?
They said... And here's my thing. This is what they didn't answer. They just stopped teaching it. But this is what they said. It's like, oh, well, we made that up. We didn't think anybody would actually go to the fucking moon to call us on it.
God.
It was like 200 years ago. We're like, oh, yeah, go take your golden ladder to the moon and call me on my lie.
It's so funny. It's so preposterous.
Where are the people? What are they doing up there? There's no atmosphere. We didn't know any of that.
We didn't know shit.
Yeah. More, he was, more temples. He was 14. More templates. Yeah.
Joseph Smith was 14.
He found it. Understood it.
when he said he found the lost tablets, the and golden say, tablets yeah. that only he could read because he had a seer stone. He had a magic stone that he was looking at.
That's who's going to be your next Republican Mitt president Romney. For. Yeah, he believes yeah, in all
that's
that.
Mitt Romney. Isn't yep. that hilarious?
Uh huh.
Have you seen the trailer for Prometheus? Speaking of ridiculous science fiction,
no movie.
The new Ridley Scott movie, the prequel to Alien.
Oh no! Really?
Don't watch the trailer.
Why?
No. Don't away too watch much? The show. They give away. There's too much going on in the trailer. There's a few spoilers, but god damn, does it look good! Ooh, it looks good.
Sigourney Weaver shaved her head.
No, she's not in this, man. Oh. Charlize Theron. We were it's talking a prequel. It's a prequel.
Oh yeah, she wouldn't be in it yet. Before. She wouldn't be in it. Yeah. She couldn't.
Charlize Theron is the new badass chick, dude. It is. It looks fucking tremendous.
Really? I won't watch it then.
Oh, it looks so good. It looks so good. It's my.
When's it coming out?
June. My dick is hard till June.
We were talking about Doug Benson that one time, but trailers it ruins stuff for you. Where there'll be a scene that says, "You thought I was dead, didn't you?"
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. He's not dead.
Yeah, they try so hard to get you into the movie. It really pisses off a lot of
I'm sure the directors that, must get so like, what?
Yeah, you fuckheads. You gave away huge plot points. There's some movies that it's almost useless to go see them. Like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes when it's setting up, you're like, I know you're going to become poor. I know how the movie goes.
Yeah, I saw
just
it.
Get to it already.
I love going to a movie that's supposed to be really good and you don't see any previews for it. It's rare that happens, but man, when it does happen, it's great.
It happens a lot for me now.
Yeah.
Because I just download everything, so it's like there's no commercials. So I miss commercials for things.
This fucking Prometheus looks so good. Oh, I love a good science fiction movie written by you know, when you have Ridley Scott good at home, it's like, come on, this is gonna be tremendous, you know?
He's really good at it.
There's not enough of those. They need like avatars every couple months. You know, something along those lines, like there's something so badass like that.
Popular ones.
Terrible ones.
Can't wait for Avengers.
I thought that looks badass. I thought that maybe I was getting cynical because like movies aren't good anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, maybe it's just me getting older, and maybe my parents said the same thing. Then I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, which is just an amalgamation of all the, you know what it is, just different. And it was like the last 9 box office was like got shitty reviews, under 60%. Right, and I'm like, that means nobody likes anything that's out. It's not just me.
It's hard to make movies, man.
I know it's hard.
Especially hard when you got a bunch of different people involved. Think about how much money it costs to make a movie like The Avengers. There's fucking millions and millions of dollars on the line as far as like they have to spend, and then the potential profit is millions and millions more, so there's so many people with so much say
trying to say like, oh, don't.
It's amazing that anything gets done. Could you imagine just this podcast or the way these conversations go? What if we had somebody in our ear and every time we started bringing up a certain conversation, you'd be like, cheese it with either the best of the white stuff, stop it with that, Ari.
Guided away from that conversation.
Back up on that. That's what it happens. You know, like, look, I've been doing the UFC for, you know, how long? Fucking, who knows?
Yeah. Is it weird to have them in
97. It's very rare does anybody say anything. But once we started going on Fox, the producer actually had to tell me in my ear, the Fox executives, like, tell them to take it down a notch. Tell them to take it down. Like, when I get excited about something, the way I get excited about it, and then it's natural. And I'm pumping it up, and I'm actually fired. Of course they like it. But these fucking dummy executives, everybody.
Sure, they do it while you're
I'm not
on.
Saying the Fox ones. I'm saying pretty much. A huge group of the huge percentage of the group of people that is in the producer position. A lot of them think that they're creative.
Also, they you have to guess what everyone's going to be into.
Exactly,
the most people are going
to
be into.
You can't tell me how to deliver the way I deliver. I've been doing it forever. They either like it or they don't. Most people like it. If you don't, tough shit. If it doesn't sound like your fucking baseball guys, your basketball guys, it's not supposed to. You know, it's not. It's not supposed to. It's a different fucking sport, and this is just the way I do it. If I was doing football, I probably wouldn't do it this way. Yeah, you're lucky I don't curse. Well, I'm lucky I got the job. Really, I'm lucky too. But the whole idea behind going in and like saying, "Oh, we're gonna fix all this and fix all that," like that's what happens in movies.
Yeah,
that's what happens on TV shows. That's what happened. It would happen in this podcast.
You're good at hiring a lighting guy.
Yeah. If we brought in production people and we said, we're going to move the podcast to a studio and blah, blah, I'd like you to produce this. Just sort of take some of the strain away from me. You know, if you ever have anything to say, just talk in my ear, man. Just think, hey, man, I'm thinking you better take this. Just change that subject, man. This is a bad subject. Could you imagine?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine how fucking crazy we would go if, you know, if someone, like, there was an O'Brien moment and someone would go, hey, man, you guys got to stop that. You got to stop.
That's why I hate, commercial breaks. Like, there's, like, podcasts that do commercial breaks. That's so stupid. It's like,
I'd rather do it up front.
Just have a conversation, you know. Don't every 30 minutes be like, and now we'll be right back.
Well, no one's doing it.
Well, these commercials are okay because you're just talking it out.
And we do get them out of the way.
Bill Burr does that. He went on a rant for when he did flowers.com or something.
Yeah.
He just went on a rant of how, because it was Valentine's Day coming up. It was like, oh, you got to buy your girlfriend flowers, go to flowers.com, and I'll get whatever percentage. He goes, why the fuck is that still a thing? Oh, like they don't get any enjoyment out of it either. The sex. We have to buy them? That's still, he just goes on this tangent for like 15 minutes and then back. Like, anyway, so go to flowers.com.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. That's sort of how we would do it.
It's a way better way to do it.
I'm glad he's doing it. Because as a comic, he's the same the way I feel. It's like, you don't want to have to say the same thing over and over again. Well, you're doing commercials now too. How are you doing your commercials?
At the beginning. I'll say what the episode's about. I'll say the stuff into it, my stand-up, and then the sponsors.
But do you elaborate on the sponsors at all? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you doing?
Tell them what he's into. If, like, an Amazon deal or Gamefly deal.
And you're doing it, like, do you do it, like, the way we're doing it? Like, you just start talking whatever you feel about it.
Yeah,
just mention
it. Yeah, and just say, this is the deal. I hate bothering people, so I usually express that. Like, I just hate bothering people, but, like, anyway, this will get me money.
You know, people have complained about it, but that's just a certain percentage of the people are going to complain about everything.
I feel like they're used to radio, though. And when radio, there's tons of commercials all the time.
Right.
I know we're not the same thing as radio, but it's similar.
But it is the same thing. It's a conversation. I mean, most of these people who are listening to this thing, they could easily be listening to
the radio. Yeah, it's very similar.
iPhones or iPods in their cars is a huge percentage of the people that are listening to this show.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a little hookup now. It's so easy to have a USB port. Most new cars, like Fords, I know your car picks it up Bluetooth. So you can can stream it from your phone.
You know, by the way, if you don't have that in your car, there's something that I recently purchased, and it's like this thing that you put in your car, and it's got three speakers, and it just goes right on your visor, and automatically connects Bluetooth.
That's the Bluetooth.
And it could connect two Bluetooths at once, and it can either just stream music to it, and also you can, take calls on it. So if you don't have it in your car, I got this for, I think, $129. I'll put it on my website, but it's good.
Most people have that hookup from like a phone to the car. If it's a music phone.
Right. And in California, it's the law. Like, I know in Ohio, you're still fucking driving around making phone calls, but in a lot of places, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you can get tickets. There are people looking for people on phones every day. You're not allowed to text, 20%. Either. When you shouldn't, goddamn, it drives me crazy when I see someone looking down their phone while their giant metal machine is hurling 60 miles an hour. I'm like, 60 miles an hour, you can cover a lot of goddamn distance in a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about accidents, that's how shit happens. It happens like on a side of nowhere. Boom.
I was last accident I had, I was drunk and I was texting trying to get to the comedy store before last call without my glasses on.
Without your glasses on. Without your glasses on. Oh my god.
And some cab stopped and you don't expect them to stop for no reason.
But how hard you hit him?
I saw it last second, stopped enough, it still smashed him. And then somewhere a cop pulled over and was like, and I was trying to get him the wave off, like, no, we're good, we got this covered.
Right.
But it was like completely because I looked away from the road.
The cop waved off?
I waved off the cop. Like, he was slowed down and like, do you guys need any help? But like, we're, I gave him a sign of like, we're handling this like adults. We're just exchanging insurance
information. Good for you. All hammered, panicking, sweaty. Yeah, trying to live heart well. Beating in your chest.
Also wondering if I can get back to the store.
What am I
going to
pull out a breathalyzer? Am I going to still going to be able to get my set?
That's what happens when you drink and drive. But texting and driving is super similar. You just look away from the road.
It's real bad. I've done it a few times here and there, but I rarely
do it. I do it all the time.
Of course, you learned your lesson, and you've never done it since this accident, right?
Drink and drive?
Yes.
I left the Stanhope show. I don't know if that was before or after. And that one, I think that might have been the last one, because nothing happened to that one. I was beyond lit up. I couldn't stay to the end.
Really?
I needed to get air.
And you drove home?
And I drove home, and I kept telling myself that if I get to the store, and I only live a few blocks away from the store, if I get there, I'll just pull over there. But I'm like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're a block
that's
away
95%
from the store.
That's 95% of the way there.
Dude, why did you drive that obliterated?
I was drunk, and I could not make the right decision. I made the wrong decision, and luckily nothing happened.
Whew. Well, how hard was it to stay in the lanes?
I think I concentrated hard. I managed to do it, but I shouldn't. I've driven drunk before. Like, I think I'm going to handle this, but almost everybody has. But this was not one of those times.
That's scary, dude. I hate hearing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody out there, learn from Ari. Don't do that shit. That's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It was.
Control your body, man.
You have less control, and you want to feel like you have control, but you don't.
And you're driving a giant death machine.
Giant death machine. That's what it is. Everyone does it. Everyone drives a little drunk, but it's like, you put
people
at risk.
Not everyone does it, man. I try really hard not to do it, but it's certainly a fucking problem.
I remember in high school, though, I used to have, one drink and I'm done rule. I don't know if you guys had that, but that went away.
It's a great rule. Yeah. No, I have had those. Especially if I'm driving. If I'm doing a show, I can have a beer, maybe two beers on stage, but if I know I got to drive afterwards, it's the worst feeling in the world.
And you got to sober up.
Yeah.
But Sam Kennedy said it the best. Well, you can't leave your car there. How are you going to get your car home?
Get a towed.
Yeah. That's not realistic for most people.
No, most people it's not.
Vancouver, I don't know if all of Canada, but Vancouver at least, they have super strict laws. So people just don't do it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things about living in New York City, that everybody's just hopping in cabs.
Cabs and subway, huh?
Yeah, cab, subway, you don't have to be responsible for being hammered.
Yeah.
But then you have to live in New York City. Which I don't think I'm willing to do. We're going to be there. We're going to be in New York in May, right? When is it, Brian?
May 4th.
May 4th.
Is that it? Yeah. No.
But the big, the most, oh, this weekend we're at the Comedy and Magic Club, too. Are you going to do it? No.
Maybe I just do Friday.
Okay, what night? You want to do Friday night?
Yeah.
Which show? Both shows?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
As long as they're down there.
Look, that's how quick we roll, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we make decisions. And Saturday, little Esther doesn't know yet, but I'm going to ask her to do it with me and Duncan. So you're going to do just Friday?
Yeah.
Little Esther and Duncan Friday. So Ari and Duncan on Friday and little Esther, if she wants to do it, and Duncan on Saturday. This weekend, Comedy Magic Club. But the big one is 420 in Atlanta. That's my fucking special. I'm taping it. This is the best shit I've ever had. This is, I could have taped a special a year ago.
Yeah, you were ready a long time ago.
I've never been this, like, I've got a, like, I did an hour and 40 minutes the other night, and it was just all material.
Really?
Yeah.
Just got, all, like.
Yeah, I got a lot of shit. I went through all of it, and I don't think I still don't think I did everything. I still have some other stuff that I have to, that I've written down that I like sort of abandoned along the way, and
yeah.
I have to figure out where to put certain things. I want to try to do
it
too. Everything.
It's like if you didn't get back to it, it's like okay, I didn't. I'll start from here for the next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this never got good.
Yeah, there's some bits. Well, there's some bits I can't keep doing.
Yeah, like, you're just done with them. You're sick of it, right?
Yeah. I got to get rid of them. Even if they don't make it to the special, I'm getting rid of them.
Yeah.
But,
it's just holding you back creatively after a certain amount of time.
Exactly. So April 20th at the Tabernacle. Say it, Brian.
Tabernacle.
After Tabernacle. Tabernacle. In Atlanta. So,
can I mention three dates? I got three big dates.
Fuck yeah. What do you got?
I got Vancouver, 29th through the 31st.
Oh, shit. Where at?
The Comedy Mix.
Ooh, one of the best clubs in the world.
Yeah, that's a big show.
So when is that? April what?
No, March 29th through the 31st.
March 29th through the 31st, Comedy Mix in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir, who are you working with?
I don't know. They got to give me someone there.
They got a good local scene.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's a lot of good comics. We were up there. Me and Segura did sets there last time we were there.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a great local scene.
Yeah,
they got
sure.
a lot of funny comics.
It's a big, fun there, city. Yeah. Anywhere West Coast.
Yeah, the Vancouver's awesome. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. It wins, like, greatest city in the world all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's very, like, friendly and worldly.
It's beautiful.
It's West Coast. They're all chill back and laid back.
Food's incredible. Yeah. Some of the best restaurants. Jesus Christ, we've had some incredible steaks at that place. Yeah. Vancouver's amazing. That's one of my favorite places to go ever. So you're there March 29th
through the 31st. 3 days.
And that Comedy Mix is the downstairs of a hotel.
Yeah, that's the old Yuck Yucks that we did once a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it's a great spot. It's a perfect
it's
size.
Close to, like, the area of downtown wherever it goes out. It's like 2 blocks away.
It's a perfect size club. That place is amazing.
Yeah. And then I think I'm doing an album in
Helium. Oh, shit.
I think I'm going to try again to take that thing.
So the first one didn't work out?
No, they just didn't get there in time. They just fucked up the recording too much. I didn't want to do it wrong.
What'd they do?
They missed the first 3 days.
What?
They just didn't come.
Why not?
They weren't organized.
So they were supposed to be there and they never got there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, who was this?
I don't know if I should say or not.
Don't say.
Yeah, but it was
Are you
just
still
really
working
shitty.
With them?
No, they were like, you want to do it again? I'm like, I think I'm just going to do it on my own. I don't want to try this again.
What the fuck?
It was
fuck?
Really frustrating. They weren't there Wednesday, they weren't there Thursday.
Oh, and you're killing.
Yeah. And Thursday was a super, like, conservative crowd in Edmonton. But they laughed super hard at all the cleaner jokes.
Right.
And I was like, that's the best reaction those clean jokes have ever gotten.
Right.
Like, I would have liked to have had that down.
Yeah.
And then Friday, they sent somebody in, but he didn't know the system. And then Saturday, there was all this feedback from the soda machine.
Oh, no.
So they just couldn't use 2 full bits. Shit. And I was like, I want them.
Yeah, that shit's annoying. It's hard to fucking get a special down. There's a lot of pressure to just have that moment be just like a real show.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I'm doing a lot of shows between now and then. If you see me, like, adding shows, that's exactly what's going on. That's
trying
what
to
I'm
get
doing.
Ready.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing. That's why I'm doing Hollywood. I'm doing the Improv. April 13th, 14th, and 15th. The Hollywood, Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, Florida.
The one at the Hard Rock. So that's April 13th, 14th, and then the 20th, Atlanta. Oh, in Louisiana. We're doing the Improv in Louisiana.
Is it Louisiana Improv?
In Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I say Louisiana?
Yeah.
I did. Jesus Christ.
The Louisiana.
Who lets me talk?
Improv in Louisville,
Kentucky. I don't have a living talking.
Tabernacle.
3:30. March 30th through April 1st, we're at the Louisville, Kentucky Improv.
You just do as many sets as you can and get like right and groove.
I'm just trying. That's a good idea. I'm getting up like crazy. I'm just going to get up every weekend, all week, everywhere. Just going to just bang it out and listening to sets, doing a lot of writing too. And I'm also preparing for the next stuff. So I'm sandwiching in new bits.
Yeah.
And I find out when I do that, I make my older bits better anyway. It makes my whole set better when I'm jamming new shit.
I had a friend asking about this. He goes, sometimes, Mike Stork, he was like, sometimes I feel like if I do these old bits, I make them longer and like I add stuff to them.
Yeah.
But my theory with that is that new stuff, that new creative stuff that you put into that, you would put into the other new bit.
Yeah.
You would just make your other bits better.
There's both, you know. Yeah. I think that a bit can cook for a certain amount of time, then after a while it's done.
It's done.
But sometimes it's not done, and you're like a year into this bit, and you're like, but then in the next year you'll come up with all this great new shit to go along with it, and now it becomes like a real piece that you're proud of. And then you can let it go. It's all in like knowing when to let it go. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Friday I'll be at the Ice House with Joey Diaz and Doug Benson for the Ice House Chronicles.
Yeah, bitches. Oh, yeah. And the Ice House Chronicles, by the way, are available only on iTunes under the Death Squad label. It's all free and everything, and it's deathsquad.tv.
.tv. And that last one we did with Greg Fitzsimmons and Joey Diaz, Brody Stevens, Lil Esther, we just put it up. So it's great.
Boom.
You,
so
Joe.
That's it. This weekend, I'm at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach on Friday night with Ari Shaffir and Duncan Trussell. And on Saturday night, Duncan and Little Esther. Come on down, you dirty bitches. And then, of course, all the other information is available on joerogan.net. The big one, though, is the Tabernacle in Atlanta, April 20th. It's going down. Two shows. The first show is essentially sold out.
It's way cool to be there for a taping like that.
Yeah.
Just say you were there.
This is my best one. I'm coming out guns blazing. This is my best shit ever. And I'm going to release it Louis C.K. style on the internet. That's $5.
Gingerly. Yeah.
My last big date that I got to say is Dallas.
Addison Improv. Yeah, when is that?
Second week of April.
That's a huge spot for you, man. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad.
Improv letting me in and saying, like, let's see how well you do.
We're going to have you on that week. Crush that. What is it again? Addison Improv, when?
April, let's say, 11th through the 14th.
And they can get this information 12th through the 15th, April. Addison Improv, and they can get this information on AriTheGreat.com.
AriTheGreat.com. It's all right there.
And follow Ari on Twitter, Ari Shaffir, S-H-A-F-F-I-R, you fucking savages. All right, thanks, man. Everybody. Thank you, Ari. It's always fun. Thank you, everybody, tuning in. Thank you, all the powerful people.
Everyone should tweet if they're there at your show, at this show. Tweet, you should call it like 420 Rogan or something. Get a hashtag. Yeah, what should it be?
Okay, 420 Rogan. Yeah, or 420 Rogan. Why not? Rogan's what you first said.
Rogan 420.
Yeah.
Yeah.
420 Rogan.
Yeah, 420 Rogan. Okay, so that's the new hashtag. 420 Rogan.
That's leading up to the special.
April 20th.
So about that. Yeah,
beautiful. Right. Well, I'm fucking writing every day for this thing. I'm geared up. I'm ready to rock and roll. I've never been more prepared to do a special or more excited to do a special. I'm just excited about comedy right now. You know, part of it has been doing a lot of these sets at the Ice House and doing the Ice House Chronicles and doing these podcasts. I'm just excited about everything, man. I've never been happier. I'm in the groove, bitches.
Nice.
All right. Thank you to the Fleshlight. Please go to joerogan.net. Click on the link for the Fleshlight. Enter in the code name Rogan, and you will save 15% off. And today, this is the last day. Today is Monday, March 19th at midnight. This will expire. But until then, if you go to onnit.com and enter in the code name Try It, you will save 35% off single 30 count bottles. Otherwise, if you use the word Rogan, you will save 10% off all orders. That's the deal, bitches. Please support our sponsors. Please keep listening. Yeah. Please keep coming to our shows.
It's because of the people. That's why you're more into it. That's why you're grooving now.
Yeah.
Because these people listening.
Yeah, man. There's a movement going on here. There's some crazy shit going down, Ari Shaffir.
Yeah, it's nice.
Don't you feel it?
I do feel it.
You're fucking headlining all over the country now, all over the world. You're international.
I finally sort of feel like fulfilled. I'm like, this is awesome.
As an artist,
people are like, aren't you afraid of being in the road all the time? I'm like, no.
Yeah. You're professional.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ari's selling out, bitches. Get in there. Go get some. That's it. We will see you guys on Wednesday with, we don't even fucking know yet. We don't even know who the guest is.
There's Sasquatch.
There's several options.
They're getting Sasquatch.
I'm trying. I've been trying for years. See you guys. Thank you. Love you. Bye.